Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you may be. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube. I will be your host from now, 11:31 Pacific Daylight Time, till 1:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Call-in number is 619-639-4724 if anyone feels compelled to call in. I welcome all callers. It's always more fun when people jump in with me. But if you don't, I just keep talking. So, much we could talk about tonight, but something came up earlier. A friend of mine posted a letter by a young person that I found particularly interesting. And they were 17, and they were reaching out for help. The man's name is Ori Bengal, is in Bengal Tiger, or Bengal, B-E-N-G-A-L. And the person made the comment that they don't really follow his blog, but they respect his lifestyle. He's become known as the famous couch surfing Ori. He has become very instrumental in developing a program called WPP Easy, to make your own WordPress websites and things like that. And he shared it because, as he said, that there have been times that people reached out for him, asked him for advice, and when he's commented on it, it made a difference. So I want to start off with that letter, and I want to have a specific focus on it. The person writing this letter is 17 years old. 17 years old. So I want to kind of approach this from the standpoint is, what would you do, or what would you tell young people to do, a 17-year-old growing up in today's society, or even someone younger, someone between the ages of 20 or 30 or whatever? Most of you that are regular listeners know that I myself am in the senior citizen class. I've had a very wonderful life and continue to have a wonderful life and plan on living many, many more years, you know. But life is a funny thing. It takes us at all particular points in time. As I shared one time, the first place that I lived when I got out of the house was in a mortuary. I've seen them die young. I've seen them die old. So the question is what kind of advice could we give to young people? And within a larger context, as we go into the show, what kind of advice could we, in fact, give ourselves in relationship to advice across the board? You see, we live in kind of a fractured society, it seems to me. And it's fractured in a lot of different areas. It's fractured along age lines. It's fractured along race lines. It's fractured along gender lines. It's fractured along educational lines. So I barely got going here. Let's see what my first caller has to say. 111, you're on Blog Talk Radio with V-Cube. What do you got for me?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Who's calling, please?
Good. This is Tony from New Hampshire.
Hi, Tony. What do you got for me tonight?
You were talking about fracturing lines?
No, I'm talking about being a fractured society, culture, people, world.
Yeah, we have a lot of fractured lines up in New Hampshire.
Give me an example of some.
Well, there's like been a lot of breaking and enterings going on up here. And my grandmother, she was punched in the face during one. That's just a failure of society altogether.
And was that done, was the breaking and entering done by young people?
Yes, by very young people.
By teenagers, legal age teenagers, younger, older.
Yeah, they're looking like 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and they're of the ethnicities, and they go in and they do these breaking and enterings, and they beat people up and take their money and tie them up. It's just a failure on society altogether. I blame the politicians and the police.
Well, absolutely. The sad thing about the police is they're spread thin in most places, and the courts have ruled that they really have no obligation to protect. And if I'm pretty ignorant of New Hampshire. I picture it as a fairly rural area. Am I correct, or do you live in an urban area, city, town?
I live close to the city, but like right near it, and like a nicer neighborhood, and they come in to our neighborhood from like a better neighborhood is the best way to explain it, and they do like break and enter ins and houses and everything if they know have money.
So do you think would you think more of the economic times, or do you think it goes past that in terms of a breakdown in societal and cultural norms?
Well, I think when we sit there and it's a double negative, first thing we do is we sit there and say, well, we can't afford to keep schools open and libraries open and cops on the street, but then our jails are getting overpopulated, cost $21,000 a year per inmate, and then you multiply that times about 4,000 inmates per prison. You do that math, that's a lot of money that could be going back into educating and protecting.
So what would you do? How would you solve the problem if I waved a magic wand and put you in charge and people would listen to you and do what you said? How would you approach the issue and the problem?
You educate. You bring more schools back, libraries, more activity centers for after school for kids. You put more police officers on the street, and then you don't have to pay for the criminals in the jail system because they aren't committing crimes because opportunities are presenting themselves through education.
Well, that certainly
people have future and have no reason to feel any kind of hope because they have no education and nobody gives them an opportunity. The only thing they can do is go in and get a job at McDonald's making $8 an hour or be on welfare their whole lives. So what other option they have but go out and be criminals?
Well, that is certainly one of the sets of options that people put forward. Last week I was talking about the fact that in this day and age with the Internet, this is one of the things I find fascinating, is that a person might not be able to go to an expensive college, but many colleges are putting college courses online. There's the Khan Academy online, which covers all sorts of things that are necessary to learning. One can get a very good education these days, and maybe we need more things like GEDs or college equivalency examinations. What do you think about that?
I believe that's a good possibility. They also took away like a lot of GED programs for inmates and stuff like that. And I think that, don't get me wrong, some of them guys are getting education and not putting it to use, but at least the opportunity is there. If you present opportunity, there's a reason for change. When there's no opportunity, there's no reason for change. You have to change society before it improves.
No, I certainly agree with you. And the fact of the matter is, the extent that we all ignore the problems, it will come back to bite us all in the butt at some point or another.
I agree.
You can't send people to prison and then let them out into a society that already has high unemployment is unwilling to employ them and expect them not to survive, seems to me.
Well, and that's another thing. And then on top of all that, they have an arrest sheet now, which, let's be honest, if there's a felon walking through your door and a guy who's not a felon walking through your door, who are you hiring?
Absolutely.
At least with an education, it gives the opportunity to open more doors. I'm not saying you're going to make the person a genius overnight, but if your only value in life is to be on welfare, collecting a free check, or going out and working at some fast food restaurant, or going out and making a couple $100s, robbing people and mugging people, what do you do?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because let me throw it back at you, okay? You want to play with me a little bit here in terms of fleshing this out. There was a point in time that we had the high poverty rates in the country in the Great Depression, and you didn't have the same types of crime. What has changed?
Well, of course, ethnicity. I mean, the intelligence level of the ethnic groups that are impoverished is way lower than what it was. You had hardworking immigrants who came over in previous days who were trying to make a better life for themselves. Now you got people who are not, I don't want to coin the term, but of other race, that their only view on life is that the whole world, the government, and society is against them, and the only thing they can do is be criminals. And they have no way out, and that's been their mentality since the day they were born. Their parents look at them and say, the white man's the devil, and you should go out and make your money how you gotta make it. And it's just all through society. It's the same thing. Like, you know, if your mind is always set to fail, then what do you do?
Well, let me ask you very, very bluntly. Are you saying it's a black-white issue then?
I say to an extent it's a little bit of a black, but I think it's more of the mentality of the black than the actual race itself. Because I think if any race was put in this situation, they would react exactly the same.
Let me bring in another caller here, okay? 762, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello, Vernon. Okay.
You want to respond to this man? Because we are... I'll let you bring him up to speed. We've been engaged. Jackie is a regular listener, Tony, okay? And she's a very bright young woman, and I'm glad that she called in and she's in this conversation.
What he was saying about the whole ethnic group, and it seemed like he tried to make a play on black people as far as, like, the crime that was going on during other times. I mean, it's a bunch of bull that is more crime now than it was then. Because you think during the Great Depression, you had this thing going on called Prohibition, and it was just as much crime during Prohibition as it is now, and it had really nothing to do with black people. These were like Irish mafia members, Italian mafia members. I don't really think the Russians was into it too heavy back then, but Jewish crime mafia members that were doing this. So, I mean, and then on top of that, you think that a lot of these ethnic groups that come over here, the Asians, the Russians, the Italians, those people, they come over here and they start their own businesses, yeah, but they extort each other. They're not calling the cops to say, well, the old Joe back from the old country over here is extorting me every week. So it is a totally different thing. And most of the time, black people rob black people, and they commit crimes against black people. So I don't even see why other people care about that.
What's 90% of every prison filled with? What race is that? Numbers don't lie.
Did you hear what I said? Wait a minute. But I said that most black people commit crimes against black people, just like white people. Most white people commit crimes against white people. So So I don't understand the point of making
that's,
crime
no,
in that capacity.
In our neighborhood, I'll tell you right now, you turn on your news, you turn on your local TV news, and you got a Chinese guy in the store. He's being stuck up at gunpoint on a video camera. What's the other guy's color? Black. You got a
how
a
often
Mexican.
Does this happen?
It's every night, probably about 14 times on one news show. You see videotape, and it's always a black
14,
person.
Wait a minute. So you sound for every night in your
let
city.
Let me jump
times,
in here
wait
real
a minute, 14 times at night, black people robbing the stores. 14 times every night.
Yes. I'm saying when they
you're
give it to
lying.
The script, they show,
you're
no,
lying.
I'm not. Sit down and watch your news and take a pencil.
No, I don't have to.
Listen to
you
me.
14 stores
listen.
Get robbed every night in your city by black people.
And mark down on one side of your paper every time you see a black person committing a crime on the news and on the other paper, any other race, and see what side's filled up.
Now, okay, now.
I never said black people didn't commit crimes. Most of the black crimes are committed against black people.
If we can't have a civilized interactive conversation, then I'll take one caller at a time and I'll toggle you both. First of all, it is not 90% of our prison, not 90% of the prisoners are black. It turns out to be 13.4% or something like that. I just looked it up. And even though blacks are a smaller percentage of the population, number one, two is based on where you live. I happen to live in a place in Northern California in a close town in Salinas. And a lot of the crime that we have in Salinas is Hispanic Mexican gang crime. I would not be so bold as to say that the crime statistics that I see in my community are reflective of every other community in the United States, Tony. And as Jackie brought up a lot, so you've got your area, and as Jackie brought up, most of the crime, you know, there have been study after study done on this, that most of the crime in black communities is black on black crime, just as she pointed out, when you have, you know, ethnic groups, you know, the mafia used to extort Italians against Italians, So we got this whole ball of wax here, and that's why I asked, are we seeing problems that are a function of a recession or what? See, if we can't have a one-on-one conversation without calling each other's liars back and forth, we live in different places, then we will never get any place. So I'm going to let Jackie speak, and then I want to let you, Tony, speak, and then I'm going to bring another caller in here, okay?
Okay.
Jackie?
Yes. All I want to say about what he said is 14 times a day, I think that would be national attention. That would be all over the news. If in one city in America, 14 times a day, black people are robbing stores. But then all the Chinese or Asian people, as he said, they would have shut their stores down because they have no protection. Obviously, the police is not protecting them.
Tony, what? By the way, what town? Whereabouts in New Hampshire do you live? You know, maybe I can look at your local paper.
It's a town called Springfield.
Okay.
And she can deny it, but the truth of the matter is that when you look on the news, and it goes with a lot of urban areas, and you got a lot of prison systems, it's 90-something percent African American. And then they consider like a small percentage, and I've seen plenty of reports on it. And I'm not going to say that it's bad. I'm saying it's more of a product of their environment and what they've been taught and raised, to be honest with you. I'm not blaming their society. I'm blaming more our government and the people who are running things for how they have, for the hope that they have in their hearts and in their minds that they can't succeed. And that, you know, when they go into a place of business, that they go and file an application and can't get the job because you got some rich white guy who's looking and saying, well, I got this clean-cut white kid, the clean-cut black kid. I'm going to go with the white kid. It happens. I mean, stereotypical, yes, you want to say that, But it happens, and it's just a fact of society. And until it changes, nothing's going to improve.
Jackie, comment. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had muted my phone. I'm still tripping off of the 14 stores robbed today. I'm still tripping off of that.
Yeah, that's there again. I don't see your newspaper. That seems, from where I live, that seems high, and that seems like a statistic that would hit every place. But what I noticed here, if I bring up Massachusetts crime, okay, and the Springfield area is very high in crime, and there are a whole bunch of surrounding areas that look like Westfield, Chicopees, Southampton, something like that, Longmeadow, all of those are actually very low in crime. So you happen to, so just looking at this very briefly, you happen to live in a very high crime area there, it looks like, Tony.
Yeah, well, that's because of what's going on. It's a neighborhood where a lot of people leave their doors and their windows open. And then you got a neighborhood that's an urban neighborhood very close to it where people know to lock every single thing you have up that you want to keep safe. And when you have neighborhoods like that, you have people who walk through the neighborhoods. If they know them neighborhoods where people leave their bikes on the lawn or they leave their window open with a TV going, or they, and then things happen like breaking and entering. They see a big 52-inch or 60-inch TV, and they come from a neighborhood where they can't afford a TV, and they go in the house and they beat the person up and they take their TV and then they tie them up, and it's all over the news here. And you go into a lot of urban neighborhoods, and that's the same thing. And you can
say another caller in here to let them respond. One. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, hello. Hi, am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I have something to say to the younger gentleman. My son listens to this show a lot. I happen to live in the town right next door to Springfield in New Hampshire, called Camden, New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
My name's Rupert, by the way. How you doing?
Thank you, Rupert. Yes, thanks for saving me to ask it.
And I have to say, I used to live in Springfield way back. I'm just turning 69 in about a few days here, and God bless every breath that God gives me. But I used to live in Springfield, and I used to operate a small corner deli on the corner of 16th and George Wallace Boulevard, and I must say, I do concur with what that young gentleman's saying, because back when I had my store, I used to get robbed at least twice a year, and that's two times just my store, but in the small town of Springfield, there's a lot of corner stores, and then in the years since I moved to Camden, and I operate another one that my son's operated now, but yes, there's a lot of young hoodlums over there, and they are of the black race, and it's just a shame. I don't know what they're doing over there, and they would steal stupid things like tuna fish and cereal and milks and juices and stuff. I don't understand.
Well, I want to be very, very clear about
my daughter. My daughter
can
still lives
a question?
In
Sure. Rupert, Jackie wants to ask you a question.
Okay.
You said they will come in and steal stupid stuff like tuna fish and juice. Obviously, if a person is stealing tuna fish and juice, that means that they're hungry. Now, if those same people would come to you and ask you for credit to buy tuna fish and juice or to pay you later or something along those lines, would you have given it to them?
Well, I think if you're stealing from my store of tuna fish and juice, I think you should get a job and come buy it instead of taking it from me, because with me operating a small corner store, I was supporting seven children. And I think that's disrespectful to me.
Okay, can I ask you this question again because you didn't answer it? If they're coming into your store and they're stealing things like tuna fish and juice, that obviously means that they're hungry. If they came to you and said, I'm hungry, can I have this food to feed my family and I'll pay you later because obviously I'm disadvantaged if I'm trying to steal it and I have to break my pride and come and ask you for it, would you have gave it to them or loaned it to them until they could pay you back?
No, they should get a job.
Hmm?
No, they should get a job.
This brings me to my point. Now, when I lived, I see a lot of stores getting so-called robbed down here in Atlanta, but they're not really getting robbed because people need the money. They're getting robbed because the store owner then cursed them out. And I'm just being honest, bro.
What the store owner?
A lot of...
I would curse you out, too. You don't steal from me. I would say, go get your own tuna fish, get a job. See, what's happened in the last 20, 30 years is the Democratic Party has let all these people become lazy. And there's some white lazy people, too, but they're only 5%. The big part is like the black and the Mexicans, and the Asians are playing their part now, too. And now you got the Indians coming over.
Let me jump in as someone that lives in northern California here that has a high percentage of Hispanics here, many of them, you know, within the illegal population. And I, for one, have done a lot of business and worked a lot in a town 20 miles south of me called Watsonville. And I will tell you, there are more lazy whites in Santa Cruz than there are lazy Hispanics or blacks or any. We don't have very many African Americans that live here. But
yeah,
I'll tell
exactly.
You what, I would trade many of our what I'd call bums or street people for the hardworking Hispanics and Mexicans that work down in Watsonville and trade Mexico straight across the board and ship our deadbeats down there. So the point being is that clearly there are problems in locales and locations that cannot be generalized throughout the United States. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I agree with that statement. I think we should ship a lot of them blacks to Mexico.
Well, I didn't say blacks. I said whites. Because most of the problems that we have in my area are whites and Hispanics.
Hello?
Yes.
Mr. Host? What's your name again, Mr. Host? I'm sorry.
My name is Vernon, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V cubed.
Vernon,
well, he's half Hispanic, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm half Puerto Rican and half German. I am as split as you can get. Because on the one hand, I have a pure Germanic race, which was noted for the atrocities of World War II and Adolf Hitler. And on the other hand, I'm pure Puerto Rican.
Okay, well, Vernon, I got two quick things to say, comments.
Is this Tony or Rupert?
This is Rupert. I sort of agree with what that gentleman said. I would ship them too, but... like, the reason you have lazy whites in California, because since I've been alive, and I have been alive 69 years this year, ever since I've been alive, there's always been lazy whites in California. So that doesn't surprise me. But we have hard-working whites over here in the East Coast.
Yeah,
but
what I'm saying is you have hard-working people of all nationalities across the board in all races, in all states, and you got lazy crime.
Are you a Democrat, sir?
No, I'm not.
Can I speak on the California issue?
Sure.
You seem to be taking the Democratic side because they give shit away. They give stuff away.
Don't disagree with that at all. But so was that you, Tony, that wanted to speak and jump in here?
Yes, I think the reason about California is I think that they legalized marijuana and you have a bunch of lazy hippies there.
Well, here, okay, I am looking at the crime map of your area in New Hampshire. I know nothing about it, okay? Clearly,
okay.
there's no way that I would argue with you, because it says the crime rate in Springfield, New Hampshire, is high, 450 to 1,000 instances. It's not quite in the very high. Say again?
You'll have to Google it. You have to Google it, because it's the crime rate's worse than Flint, Michigan, over in Springfield.
Well, let me finish. We'll bring in Flint, and before the show is over, you know, we don't have a limited amount of time. I will bring in every major city, but there is Westfield there. It's low. It's considered low, and it doesn't look like Westfield is more than, I don't know, how far away is Westfield from Springfield? It looks like a couple of miles, but it doesn't have a legend on the map.
No, it's not
Hello?
That far. No, it's right next to it.
So it's within a couple miles? Is it within 5 miles?
No, they borderline each other.
Okay, because you've got Springfield. I can't see the one name. Chicopes? Chicopes.
Chicopes.
And that says it's got an average crime rate. Then across town up here about, Haleakala? I can't, there, it's small on the map. There we go. Holyoke. It's high again. So most of the areas are low, and a couple of them are high, and some of them are average. And this is a relatively small region of the United States. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying there's not a crime problem there.
Vernon.
Right, but the same thing,
yes.
I have cousins that live in Philadelphia, and you turn on the news in their section, it's like identical.
Vernon?
Yes.
You never let me finish, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, what I was trying to say is the Democrats, after like JFK and stuff, they started giving out too much free stuff, and now it's a lazy society. It's a society where the Democrats always seem like they're gonna win because they give you free food stamps. They tell you you can have 9 babies, and you don't have to get a job, and you can go and take your welfare card, your little swiping card. I guess they have one of them mechanical things. I don't know. We didn't have that in my store. We just had a cash register. I'm American. But that you can swipe your little card there, and you can get Cheetos, and you can get Doritos, and you can get milk, and you can get cereal, and you can get, snacks and SpaghettiOs and stuff, which are not non-necessities. These people are abusing the system. Milk, bread, eggs, you know, actual food are the items.
Okay, Rupert, I want to throw something else in here because
I walked into a store the other day, and a little boy walked in with his mother's Access welfare card and bought 2 bags of Cheetos, a Slim Jim, and a Coca-Cola. To me, sir, that is non-necessity foods. And that little boy should have been beaten when he got home.
Well, you know.
Or maybe he should have just stole it. And
so why he got to get beat for buying Cheetos?
Yeah, right? I'm going to tell people here is I think that we need the conversations like we're having on the table. But when you start. Actually, in a way, I probably shouldn't cut it, because when people use their racial epithets, they show their own ignorance and their own racism. I just cut Rupert because I don't like the use of the word, the N-word, okay?
I don't approve of that word. That's a racist word. That's the problem with society. They take away from the races and demoralize them.
So anyway, that's why if you're listening, Rupert, you know, I'll call you back up. I'll let you back in, but I'm not going to tolerate that language because you cannot have a civil discussion regarding the problems of the nation when you're insulting like that. Period. It just doesn't work. It just won't work. Restricted. You're on the air.
I don't understand. I mean, why he's telling that person what they buy in from the store with a food stamp card. I don't understand what would be the difference in a parent rewarding their kid with a dollar from doing some chores in the a person rewarding their kid with a dollar on their food stamp card for doing some chores. The kid deserves to have what they want. All people want to give their kids some candy or something like that at least once or twice a week. Come on now.
Jackie, his upset shouldn't be with the children or the mother or the father. If anything, the upset should be with the food stamp program or the farm bills or any of that stuff, because the legislature has decided what you can use that money's on. They went to the cards so they could restrict people from selling food stamps, as I understand it, to get cash so they could buy beer, cigarettes, and things like that, because they wanted people to be nutrition. You go back to the 60s, they used to have food commodity places so that when you got public assistance to eat, you went in and you got blocks of cheese, your USDA-marked food. And so, you know, I understand the frustration, but this is something that totally transcends, in my opinion. This is beyond a racial problem. This is a national problem, a country problem, a problem that is, in fact,
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
But people like him, they contribute to the problem. When you heard it out his own mouth, I asked him, if this same people came to his store and said that they were hungry and they needed some food to feed their family because they were in a tight jam, whatever, and they would pay him back, he said he would let them starve. This is the type of thing that causes these situations that we're in. And people talk about how many people it is on government assistance these days. How many people would need government assistance if their job did not leave? How many people would need government assistance if their job did not outsource? Or now they were getting paid like $60,000 a year. Now they get paid like $30,000 a year because their job contracted. I mean, so the country is in a different situation right now. So I don't understand how many people is on food stamps really makes a difference when people really can't afford to eat anymore.
Well, that certainly, and listen, I don't want to defend racism, but on the other hand, I understand that people feel that I work hard to put food on the table for my family. It's a conundrum that they're dealing with, and in terms of him saying, I'm taking it out of my pocket, and if he really felt that he's going to get paid, he might, in fact, do it restricted. I have someone else on the air here that I brought your mic up, and you haven't said anything yet.
Yeah,
hello?
How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. This is John. Okay, let me get one other person in the queue, and I want to make another comment about people on public assistance, and it's really important for Rupert and Tony and me and Jackie and John to understand this, because I just saw a statistic the other day, and I will pull it up. I don't have it right in front of me, that right now roughly about a third of the entire population is on some sort of government welfare. So that I know that the perception that I've been hearing in the calls right now because of the location, and see, I don't question the data. Someone tells me that there's a lot of crime in a certain area, and it's coming, let's say, in my area from Hispanics, if it was, or the homeless bums here, or people call them bums. Most of the homeless here are young people that just want, or vagabonds, or someone says it's African Americans. If that's what's being reported, that certainly is the perception, but that's very different from that being the way it is at large for everybody. You cannot extrapolate from a couple examples the entire United States. Like I say, the latest statistics, there are something like 100 million Americans that are on public assistance of one sort or another. Let me bring one other person in here, John, and then we'll continue with the free-for-all. 11111, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
And what's your name?
Missy.
Missy?
Yes.
Okay. So now so we have it all on the table. I got Missy in the conversation, John, Jackie, Tony, and I, as the host and moderator, I'm going to shut up for a second. Missy, I'm going to let you start off, because you sound like a nice young lady. I talk to John all the time, nothing personal, John. I want to hear what Missy has to say. Then we'll go to John, Jackie, Tony, and let's try and keep some sense of an order here, because I think it's possible to have a conversation that's much needed in this country.
Okay. I have a few things. First of all, for Jackie to be angry at Rupert for not giving somebody food from his store is crazy. Small businesses cannot hand out free stuff. Okay, that's first off. I'm a Democrat. I have nothing wrong or think anything of people who are on welfare. Secondly, I'm from Philadelphia. We have over 200 murders already so far this year. Over like 95% of them are committed by black people. So before Jackie calls and just wants to put whatever statistics she thinks out there, maybe she should do more homework.
Missy, let me ask you a quick question, okay? Okay.
Wait, can I ask her a question first? Who those black people, the murders that you said, who did they kill?
Who did they kill?
Yeah.
Is that what you asked? They killed themselves, which to each of them, if they want to be dumb and do that, whatever. They kill Chinese people working in Chinese stores. They kill white old ladies taking public transportation to or from their job or their doctors. They kill a lot of people.
What I said was that most black crimes are committed against black people. I'm not saying that.
Okay,
black people
and as a black person, are you comfortable with
other
that?
People, but
no,
most
no,
you're comfortable with that as a black
people.
Person? You're
Missy,
okay with
not.
Your race killing each
no,
other?
No, she is
think
not.
Okay?
Let her finish.
She
let her
may
answer.
Not be. She may not be. Well, why is that her excuse? Who are they
it's
killing?
Not,
well, that's
what,
Missy,
understand.
I'm going to put you
saying.
On hold.
She's my fault.
No, okay. What she's saying is, are you okay? And I'm going to bring you back up again. Missy, I normally do AM radio. And you only take a call at a time. BTR is different. What she's asking is if you are, in fact, comfortable with black people killing black people. And I told her, no, the answer is no, not at all. And you and I have engaged in this discussion, and we have one ongoing. So the answer, Missy, is no, I'm going to bring you back. You're muffled.
Can I say one thing about John, not John Rupert? I'm not mad at him because he wants to let people starve. Only thing I'm saying is if you choose to let people starve, which is like totally an act against God, it's totally not Christian. But
do you donate?
What do you expect when people are hungry? When I was growing up, neighborhood was everything when I was growing up. Everybody in the neighborhood knew everybody else in the neighborhood. It wasn't really no breaking into your house because everybody knew everybody. If somebody broke in your house, it was somebody that was not from the neighborhood. If somebody came and robbed the neighborhood store, it was somebody that was not from the neighborhood because the people from the neighborhood that supported those stores, those people, those small businesses knew that those people that lived in those neighborhoods are the ones that kept food on their table. And when those people came and said, you know what, I really need something to feed my family, they were not against giving it to them because they knew that years and years of support. And when these people did have money, they did come to your store and spend it, and that's how you kept food on your table. So that's my point. I'm not mad at all. He can do what he wants to do. But it's consequences to owning a business. And the consequence is some people might come and ask you for stuff. They might ask you for credit. They might rob you. That's any business, anywhere.
Consequences. Being a small business owner, your consequences is if you don't have people in your neighborhood, you're allowed to be robbed. Do you donate every
no.
year? How
but
much checks do you
write
to send to
charity? You might
you
be robbed,
said that it was
period.
A cinch. You said it was a sin to allow people to starve and not to help people. So you feed your neighbors? You feed everybody on your block. If somebody knocks on your door and says, can I borrow food? You say, here, take my whole pantry. Is that what you do since it's a sin to let people starve?
Okay, could somebody else interject, because she's totally throwing words in my mouth, and I just wanted somebody
to you said it was a sin.
Throwing words in my mouth.
Okay.
Never said that.
You said
but
Adam,
if you want to take it there, how could you survive? How can a small business survive in a neighborhood if everybody in the neighborhood says, you know what, we are not going to support this business? How could that business survive?
Okay, Jackie, what I'm going to do is one of the problems is if we get a whole bunch of people talking on Skype lines and these kinds of things, no one's going to get a second thing in. So, John, you're the only hot mic. You haven't said anything yet. So I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to have your say. Then I've got two people below Missy who haven't said anything yet. I'm going to bring them in. Then I'm going to go back to Tony, Jackie. If I need to control it that way to try and have a reasonable conversation, I will. Go ahead, John.
One, I would say, if you look at, you know, I hear black, white, ridiculous. Look at serial killers. How many white serial killers are there to black? How many black serial killers do you see? Okay, I mean, if you want to start taking crime statistics, we can look at a whole bunch of stuff. The proportion of white serial killers to blacks per capita is astronomical, okay? You've given out the figures of, you know, different crime neighborhoods and so forth. I would say that you're seeing poverty people who are in poverty, and a lot of them being black, robbing because they may be hungry or they may be tired and pissed, dismayed, whatever the case may be. I'm not making an excuse for that. I'm just saying I think that's what we're seeing within this society now. To Rupert, who I think is a complete con and a shill, because I don't think it was a real call. If he's 60 years old, I'm two, okay? And,
well, John, let me interrupt you a second. At one point in time, he said 69. The second time, he said 59. Now, that could be a mistake.
Right.
I certainly would invite him to call back in. But I want to say something before I turn it back over to you. You know, folks, our realities are so rigidly fixed by what we believe and what we see around us. Listen, you can live in a neighborhood that's mostly black crime and black on black. That does not mean that at large and in terms of the statistics at large, that's the way it is every place. That's the only thing I want people to see. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I was going to say Rupert was trying to make some, you know, I don't think that this is racial and I don't think this is ideological either, because I live in a majority right wing, and I mean ultra right place, and these people are lazy, and not only are they lazy, they're stupid. So I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's the same all around the world. I'm saying that's my vision of it from what I see and where I live. So I mean, people can have, just as you said, you know, just because you're seeing something in your place doesn't mean that it's that way everywhere. So I don't think that this comes down to any particular party or any particular race whatsoever. I think that what you said about one-third of the country being on some sort of public assistance says quite a lot, because we are in a very depressed state, and we saw what happened in the last depression, and rather than people lining up for soup lines now, they may be getting public assistance. It's being done a little bit differently, but we are obviously in a depression, and there obviously are a lot of people that are hungry. Jackie was absolutely right. Jackie was absolutely right when she said, when she was talking about feeding the poor and it being a principle. If you go back to religious times, poor taking food was not a crime, okay? Now, I'm not saying that every small business can afford to, you know, feed, everyone who comes into their store. But, I mean, just humanitarianly, if someone comes and they're hungry, you're not going to give them food. I mean, Vern, you and I grew up a long time time ago. I remember hobos coming to the door at our house, you know, and my mother bringing them food. I mean, come on, let's get real and some humanity here, you know. So if people are hungry, I would say that we can't afford to feed them, because those of us who have a little bit more, no matter whether we own a small business, big business, or it's just at our house, you know. Anyway.
John, absolutely agree. I'm going to put you back on hold. I'll pick you up because I got a whole bunch of people here. I'm going to go to, you know, I just want to keep this rolling. Not 317, you're on the air. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, what's up? This is Anonymous Bill, Vernon. I got to say, we got some bang-up numbers after you appeared on the show last week.
Bill, thank you. You know, what can I say?
That was pretty good.
You're a good
and,
man. Without you, I would be nothing. I would be nothing, absolutely. You know. So,
well,
go ahead.
Well, I'm just here, sitting there listening. I think the caller, Missy, I think, or Misty,
yes,
is jumping all over this Jackie. I've heard Jackie before. I think her heart is in the right place. Nobody has all the answers, obviously, and no one here is in control of the system, so we're never going to be able to implement whatever we think is the right answer. But, you know, I think anybody that wants to, what are we talking about, withholding money from the hungry? Is that an ongoing theme here tonight?
No, well, you know, what it actually started, I started off actually asking what advice would you give young people in this day and age, and was started off with a piece that someone had sent me regarding a 17-year-old who was lost in the direction of life. And it got, we were suddenly engaged in larger sociological and social problems that we're faced with right now. And it turns out that Tony, and I will get back here, I've got one other call, Tony, and I'll float you to the top, come down the line here, then Tony, Jackie, John, Missy, Bill, and we will round robin it that way, because when everyone starts talking on these Skype lines, no one can understand anyone, and we don't get any place. So that's in fact how we got here. And where Tony lives, he lives in New Hampshire in the Springfield area, which has a very high crime rate, and he says it's primarily black crime. And so all of a sudden we have a conversation of people saying the 90% of the crime is black. I just don't buy that. I mean, the crime statistics by the FBI don't bear that out. And the other thing that comes up is in terms of welfare or people receiving public assistance, approximately a third of the whole entire population of the United States right now is on some sort of assistance. So that's kind of how we got there. It's kind of a maybe a sloppy overview, but the best I can do, given the fact
that's
that we're
pretty good.
An hour into
like-
the show.
I like your wrap up there, Vernon. You always end up putting it in a good shell. When I go back and listen, you pretty wrap it up pretty well. So, I think that the crime rates are misleading, because the crime rates are dependent upon who they catch. So if you're looking after if you're trying to catch a certain population of people, and a lot of studies have shown that police are racist. So let's face that fact. If you're automatically assuming black people are going to do more crime, then you're going to be watching them closer. You're going to be on your toes when they're around, entering stores with hoodies on, et cetera, and you're going to be on the lookout for that stuff more. So who they catch is what they base their statistics on. It can be a little
you
misleading.
You catch what you're looking for is kind of what I hear you saying, in a way.
Oh, yeah. And I'll let you go through, cycle through the callers, Vernon. It's a great show, though, that I'm hearing right here.
Thanks, Bill. I'll put you on hold. Don't go away. I'm going to pick up my next caller here. 11111, you're on the air. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Vernon. This is Desmond.
Yes.
Desmond.
D-E-S-M-O-N-D. That's what I thought. Okay. Desmond, what do you have to tell me?
Yes. I moved here to your great country from Haiti about 10 years ago. And I must say, I listen to you also, because I understand you're a proud American. And I am Haitian born. I guess I am American citizen now, but The gentlemen that have come before me are racist because since I've been in this country, the only people that have showed me care and love are the overweight white ladies.
Well, Desmond, actually, you know, if you're trolling me,
I don't understand, Mr. White Man, not enjoying your great services of your country. I enjoy the big overweight white ladies, and they show me care, and they show me the way. Lots of
free stuff
to want.
Who could ask for more? I'm going to put you on hold here and see what Tony has to say. Okay. That's what, you know, actually in terms of I got to keep him around. He's fun. Tony, you're on. It's your mic. So what do you have to throw in here? You know, I want to thank everybody for engaging in this conversation. I'm sorry that it gets so crazy that it's impossible, you know, to do everybody up at once. So what do you have to add right now?
Okay, Rupert, here you go. This is going to silence everything.
This is Vernon right now. Rupert is gone, but, you know, that's okay.
You too. Here's the stat that I'm going to show you. Go to www.project.org/info .php record ID equal 174. What that is the Department of Justice puts out stats, biracial divide.
Hey, slow down. I'm almost there. project.org/info.php ? The end of that?
After that, record ID equals 174. And look at the statistics. It's going to have a graph there. Look by race, who's committing the most crime, and read underneath of it. I'm not saying it like I'm trying to put down a race, but it's facts are facts. And they're even saying that they're trying to change the views and everything in the system and how the racial divide is within the prisons. But, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. When you turn on the news and there's a video camera and it's a black guy holding a gun, sticking up somebody, the proof is in the pudding. If you want to change the views of your race, you have to change as a race.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold and bring Jackie up. I hear what you're saying. I actually went to that ID. I typed something in wrong because it did not come up. Let me double check it again.
Yeah.
Project.org, info. Period. PHP.
Hold on. Slow down. It's project.org/info.
Dot PHP.
PHP? Record ID.
Oh, record ID. That's what it is.
Record
have.
ID. Equal sign 174.
Got it. That's what I didn't have the record ID part on there. Well, what comes up here? Record ID. CORD ID equals 174.
Yes.
That's not coming up for me. It's coming up Project America, but I'm sure I can look it up here. I'll try and look it up. It's not coming up for the records you want me to see.
Search your search bar. How I got to it, I put racial percentage of or prison racial prison population race. And I searched on Google, and the first one that came up was that one. And it's the Department of Justice, the statistics, male, female, race, and who is locked up for more crimes. And the black male population is over double any other statistic.
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever took issue with that one, Tony. I think what got taken issue with was 90%. I'll get back to that in a second, but I've got it in front of me. I will look it up. I will go over it as I start cycling through the callers, okay? I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Okay.
Jackie, you're back up. A lot of stuff on the board here. You there?
two people made some really good points. I think it was, I can't remember his name.
Well, I can tell you who was
John. When John said,
John and Bill and Desmond likes the white fat ladies. Or the fat white ladies.
Okay, what Bill was saying that, and this makes a really good point, what Bill was saying that statistics is basically, is it based on who they catch, really. So, and like you said before, nobody is disputing black people committing crime. So I don't even know how that came into play. Nobody is disputing it. And we all know now that Rupert was a shill. He was playing around and stuff like that. But to make up figures just to be smart, you know, it's people that's on this show that takes this stuff seriously because we're having a conversation. We're dialoguing. So it's people that take this seriously. And like I said, it's just a lot of stuff going on in the country today and blaming the citizens for what these people are doing to the country. I don't see the point in it because everybody needs to eat. Everybody lives here, and most people are in these positions because corporations have abandoned them. We used to live in a country where you can work hard. You can own two or three houses just by hard work alone. Hard work gets you nowhere now. Now you need hard work plus like $20,000 in college debt. So.
And you don't even get an education for $20,000 worth of college debt. You get through 4 years of college and you don't know shit. Like, really, really, you know, it's a tragedy. Our educational system is in disarray. Here's the problem, Jackie, and I want to ask you, John, since I wrapped you up earlier, Missy's been in the queue longer. I'm going to bring Missy back up, and then we'll get to John, then Anonymous Bill, and keep going. You know, listen, okay, I don't take the paper in Springfield. 14 crimes a day sounds pretty excessive to me, but I, you know, for me to comment and say that's not true, I wouldn't know. I don't have the information. Quite frankly, I do think that if there was that much crime going on a daily basis, in a large measure, I would be surprised if it hadn't hit the national news feeds because that's the kind of stuff the news media thrives on. Okay, that being said. That is a reflection of one, it looks like 1 to 5 square miles worth of an area in a country with a population of 315 million. And to extrapolate and say that the crime that you have there that is committed, it could be committed by whites, blacks, whatever. I don't care what ethnicity or nationality you brought in. I would not say that that is reflective of the population at large. Or you can't draw that conclusion. Jackie, do you want to make a comment on what I just said?
I think he made that up. If I'm not mistaken, he said getting shot. And that's different.
Well, Tony's right there. It was Tony who was saying that there again. I will bring him.
What,
did
I
you
wanted
say,
to make one comment about what he said, too, about going to the crime thing and looking up the crime statistics. And I know black people. I know some black men right now that's in jail. And, yes, with a criminal record, just because they were driving and didn't know their license was suspended. So... sometimes, it's a known fact, and I hate to get into stuff like this because people, they either don't know it or they don't want to recognize it, but you have programs that still go on now that started off with stuff like COINTELPRO, where the government was set out to get black people, where they set out to destroy communities by flooding them with crack cocaine to fund their wars. And things like this.
So then you have these drug laws that mainly affect black men and don't affect the white men that's doing the same thing. So I know black people is in jail. I know it's probably more black people in jail than white people, but you have to look at it. Jail is a business.
Yeah.
Jail, most of these prisons are privatized.
There's a higher percentage. Let me make a distinction in what that says. There's a higher percentage for the population. Doesn't mean that there are more blacks in jail. The black population in jail is a higher percentage of black population than the white population. But I think since there's so many more whites in the United States than there are blacks, there are more whites in jail overall. I think that what I just looked up a little bit ago said that the number of blacks in jail were 13%. But that one could be wrong. Somehow it seems to me it's in fact higher. But see,
but then when you start breaking it down, like why are they in jail and all of this stuff like that, then it what's his name? I can't remember his name. John. Like John was saying that as far as like serial killers and stuff like that. So, you know, I think whole thing was talking about black crime is most of the time black people are committing crimes against black people.
Yeah,
that
and that's the tragedy. That really is a tragedy. I'm going to pick up Miss. Don't go away. You've got to promise me you won't drop off the show. It's a very touchy subject matter, but we will continue the show. I'm going to put you back on hold, Jackie. I'll get back to you shortly. And I know that Missy's got to have something to say here. Missy.
Hello.
Yes.
First of all, how can we compare serial killers to the number of black men on the street committing crime and killing each other? It's like apples to oranges. I'm not even going to get into that. But again, Philadelphia, if you can look up Philadelphia crime rate, our black mayor, our black police chief, go on our news stations and say, if these idiots are going to keep killing each other, there's nothing more we can do. Our mayor is Mayor Nutter. Look it up. You said if crime rate was that bad, it would be national news. Did you hear Philadelphia? It's called Murderdophia, Killadophia. They make up T-shirts, and they wear these on our street. So, yes, there is an epidemic in Philadelphia because of black people killing each other or killing innocent white people. And Jackie's saying about Rupert, even if he was fake or real, who cares? But to say that a small businessman should have gave food, okay, I am very generous. I donate every year. When my daughter gets a haircut, I make her donate it to Lots of Love. I donate everything. When I ask Jackie how much she donates to charity, she has zip to say. So for somebody to say it's a sin not to donate or help feed people, if she's not out there beating the street and helping people, she's a hypocrite, and she shouldn't be saying anything about anybody else.
Well, I think that Jackie said that when she came on that she did not, in fact, that she perfectly saw your point and agreed with you, and people had the right to, in fact, give or not give according to their own charity, in the charity of their own heart. She fully understood that.
To say it's committing a sin, because she did throw it out. She said, I think it's like committing a sin if you do not help feed the hungry. It's in the Bible. To quote something from the Bible and to call somebody a sinner because maybe they don't feel it's right to just hand things out. You can't get everybody to donate. If you did, then our world wouldn't be the way it is.
Well, listen, what I want to do is I'd like to bring her up to respond directly to you, because it's the two of you talking about that, because I think she has a right to...
That's fine, but can you please look up the city of Philadelphia? So I know Jackie's speaking from her heart because she's black, and I have nothing wrong with that, to support your own race or to be, passionate about something. But I do have statistics, and I do have proof to back up what I'm saying. I'm not racist. I'm just telling her to maybe open her eyes and see that people do judge black people as being bad sometimes when you turn on the news and there are three black guys going on the steps of the bus shooting AK-47s into a bus during rush hour for no reason.
Missy, I just brought Jackie in, but before I turn you loose and let you comment back, Jackie, I want to say, let me ask you a question. What would the tone in Philadelphia be, or any of the other, or New Hampshire, Springfield, New Hampshire, or any of these other places, if in fact I was to do an experiment for a month and convince the news media to totally change what they reported on, would people in fact change their point of view? I remember Howard Stern put his man on the street with the...
Absolutely not. Considering the fact that our Earl Mayer, who is African-American, is on the news and calls our people of Philadelphia, who are primarily black, that they're idiots for shooting each other. Our police chief of Philadelphia is black, and he calls them idiots. What do you want the people of Philadelphia to think of our people if our own mayor has no respect for them and calls them idiots?
We're like
over 200 and something murders already this year. Look it up online. I'm not lying.
Oh, no, that's fine. Jackie, you want to make a comment here? Because I'm going to do a calculation while you're doing that.
Okay, maybe yeah, I'm here. Maybe I can say something to help you get some more calculations out. That, like I said, after this, I don't want to hear nothing else about race because it's really ridiculous. Race and crime, I don't want to hear nothing
What's
about black people and crime.
What's ridiculous is that
your
friends are in jail for their license being suspended. First of all, they send you a letter
wait a minute.
In the mail.
I don't
yeah,
have
Missy.
I don't have any friends that's in jail for their license being suspended. Listen to me when I talk. Yeah. Don't make up stuff or put stuff in my mouth. Now, after this burn, is I don't want to be involved in any more discussions about race and crime after I say what I say. Now, we have a situation back in the 1960s, the 50s, the 60s. I mean, it was always drugs in this country, and it was always crime in this country. But we had a situation where black people, some black people wanted to abandon their family, the people that loved them. They wanted to abandon what they made. We had doctors. We had stores. We had restaurants. We had a lot of things. But people wanted to abandon what they were providing for their communities and integrate into other communities. So you had this whole movement. And when this movement started to help black people to get more, the ones that wasn't getting enough and needed the help of the people that were kicking their ass and making Jim Crow laws against them, we had people that wanted it, or they even needed it, whatever. They started this movement. And during this movement, a lot of other movements came out, like a feminist movement. You had other racial groups that decided to join into this movement. And when the movement was over, the black home was destroyed. The black man was totally kicked out his home. The only thing that was left was a feminist movement that said, well, you know what, black women, you can join this. Totally give your kids to the government. Let your kids be wards of the government so that you can get the money that was taken out your home when the man left. And you can just go and work and abandon your kids. Let the school systems, the government school systems, raise your kids and let them instill values because you can't do it because you're off working somewhere. So you have these other people that came in, these people that called themselves Black Panthers and other similar organizations, and their only things was to do police their neighborhoods. They set up school programs to feed the children in the morning. They had sickle cell anemia programs to help people with medical care, but this wasn't good enough for some people in the government. And what they did was they came and they got some crack cocaine and they flooded our neighborhood with crack cocaine. And there were some other smart people who went and they started record companies, blah, 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 and they flooded our neighborhoods and our communities with this rap music. Now what you get, people killing each other and all that, this is a result of this. Now, where's the black people at that got these planes and these gun shops to bring in the drugs and the guns? So this is all by design. So if you're mad at black people for committing crime, be mad at the people that designed it and put these people in a position to do it. Because white people commit crimes too, the same crimes, and they commit them against white people. But we never talk about that.
Eloquently said. the problem with the problem of the
but,
discussion.
Wait, one more thing, Burns.
Okay.
One more thing. If the government would have flooded white neighborhoods with crack cocaine, where would white people be at right now, 34 years later?
Okay, I'm going to answer that with a very, very, let's see. If the white, listen, okay, I'm going to put myself in the mix. I am glad that that crack cocaine was not on the market in large measure when I was growing up due to its addictive nature. Because it's something you don't mess with, and people didn't, in fact, understand that. And whites that engage or indulge or in crack cocaine wind up addicted as well, just as easily. It cuts across the lines. Now the question is how do we stop anyone from engaging in crack cocaine, something we know is so bad for them? Black, white, Asian.
Oh, was you asking me that?
Yes.
Honestly, that really don't concern me because it has never affected or been purposely distributed to any other racial group but the one I belong to. So I can't really even answer that until I know the answer to.
Well, I will look. I'll look up crack cocaine statistics in the white community and other communities between now and tomorrow night, and we'll pick it up. But here's the thing that I want to leave on the table. Here's the thing I want to leave on the table is knowing the absolute terrible nature and danger. Okay, I want to go back one other thing. Do you realize that roughly something like 30 to 40% of the population was addicted to opiates and heroin after the Civil War because they used it to kill pain? From the carnage of the war, you know, we wiped out roughly 20% of the population, as I recall. So that was across the white population and stuff. So if we can get through that and get a population that's not addicted to heroin anymore and opiates, we need to work through this thing about the addictions of crack cocaine and get the drugs out of the neighborhoods and out of the hands of kids. It's something you don't mess with. It's like a Russian roulette.
Are you familiar with Freeway Ricky Ross?
No. What was it? Freeway?
Please. Freeway Ricky Ross.
No.
Please look him up. Please, whatever you do, you get a chance, look him up.
Yeah, I will. I will look him up tonight, probably after the show. So you want to bow out of this part of the conversation for the rest of the evening.
Once you look up Freeway Ricky Ross, you will understand exactly what I'm saying. The government purposely put crack cocaine in black neighborhoods. This is by design, Ron. This is not something that just happened all of a sudden and like at the end of the war when they found out, you're thinking they didn't know how addictive heroin was. So what they decided to do either it was the other way around. It was either the morphine or the heroin, and they used one to try and get the people off the other one. Then they found out it was just as addictive. They didn't purposely flood a certain ethnic group's community with this drug. They did not do that. They purposely did this. This is public record. You can go and look it up.
I will
not
definitely
only did
look.
They do it on the West Coast, they did it on the East Coast too.
Jackie, I don't talk in detail about things that I haven't spent the time to get myself informed on. So for me to make comments much beyond that at this particular point, I just pulled them up, and I will read tonight, and I'll take that up tomorrow night. By the way, I've started to do quite a bit of research to try and put together a cogent program together regarding the drug laws, the effect of the drug laws. Most people don't realize this, that that powdered cocaine tends to be the drug of choice, or what the white community uses, and the law and the penalties when you cross over the line for the same amount of drug for rock cocaine or meth crystal or any of that stuff is incredibly a lot harsher. It doesn't seem to be quite just. You know, clearly people that are well represented in courts, black, white, Asian, whatever, are going to skate. People that don't get good representation are going to go to jail, and that's the poor. And I actually think that if I was to do a good sociological study across the board, that I would probably find when it broke down to it, that what we would have at play as much as anything in the whole system, or another factor that needs to be factored in, would have to do with poverty as much as anything else. But I don't have that statistics, but I will look that up. I am far from knowing everything. I lost my man like the fat white woman. I'm white woman. I'm going to bring John in here. Okay, so Jackie, you don't want to, it's a hard conversation because, hey, Tony, I don't live in your particular town. I don't know what the demographics of black to white are. I'm looking at the page you gave me. That tells me about the rates of incarceration. It doesn't give me the crime statistics for your town, the whites versus blacks. And I'm not denying the black crime is higher in your town, right next to you. Within a 10-20 mile radius, you have counties and areas which have incredibly low crime. So, you know, and it's black on black crime. One of the problems that we run into is an area called logical fallacies and extensions and dealing with the data, and that's the one I always have problems with. Jackie, I'm going to shut up for a second. Speak to me.
Oh, no, I'm listening. You're doing fine.
So I'm going to go ahead. We're down to 5 callers on the board. Okay, what I'm going to do is Missy, you know, your passion, I cannot fault you for in the least. I understand what you're saying. The mayor in Philadelphia and the police chief in Philadelphia says it's crazy. Those weren't the words you used. I didn't write them down. For black on black crime, for blacks to be killing blacks, and I agree, and that's one of the things that Jackie said earlier, is black on black, blacks suffer some of the most of any people in terms of black on black crime. And Tony, so you're not left out, you're all here. I'm going to tell a quick story, and then I'm going to tell John to take it over, but you all got hot mics. I'll see if we can let this all work out. I was watching True TV the other night, and they had a piece on stupid criminals. Yes, everyone's on. I'm going to tell this quick story, and then I'll shut up and see if we can have a civilized conversation with minimal moderation. And this black man, it was, came in to rob a store with a baseball bat. And the person that owned the store was someone of Eastern descent, Iranian, Iraq, you know, one of those countries there. And he reached under the counter and he came up with a semi-automatic assault rifle and pointed at the man robbing the store. And the man dropped his knees, dropped his bat, and says, "Please don't shoot me, don't shoot me, don't shoot me. I'm down on my luck. I was trying to get some money for food." And the store owner went behind the counter, reached in the register, says, here's $40. Maybe that'll help. Hang on a second while I get you some milk and bread. Now, I'm not saying that store owners need to do that or should do that, but it was an interesting piece. The man that was trying to rob the store immediately left before he could come back with the bread and milk, but he could not even understand that a store owner that he'd attempted to rob would have that kind of compassion, care, and give that kind of a helping hand. So, anyone want to weigh in?
Well, I'd like to say God bless him. And first of all, I'd like to say that it's very interesting that Desmond had a Hindu voice when he was supposed to be Jamaican man. You know, I mean, I think we got some Phil Henry wannabes out there.
Sounded more Indian to me, but what can I say?
Yeah, it sounded very, very Hindu. It was like, I'm from Jamaica, and I, you know, I mean, please, you know, go practice. Second of all, Jackie's right with this race. We keep using the word race. What race are we talking about? The human race? Because if we look at the DNA of black people, white people, oriental people, it doesn't make any difference. We all have 99% of the same DNA. We're not in the 1700s where we think the color of people's blood is different. You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to look at this and say, why are these impoverished people, and maybe they are, from African-American descent, okay, doing this, then let's try to address that. And I think that you brought this up very eloquently, Vern. Let's try to address how we're going to do that and how we're going to make that better, and stop saying, you know, stop trying to make this a racial thing. You know, it doesn't matter about serial killers, but it matters about this. It matters about everything. So,
killers matter.
I'm saying
serial killers. I was just saying, when you grow up in the city where I grew up from and you see three black guys get on a Philadelphia Septa bus with an AK-47 and just spray the bus and not care if there was kids or ladies, if for some reason every person on that bus got taken out by a bullet, would they be serial killers, or would they just be another black statistic thrown in Philadelphia jail? Tell me that once.
Well, what I'm saying
your homework,
to you
please
is...
Please go and look online. Look up Philadelphia. And I stopped listening to Jackie when I noticed she was a liar. She was arguing with Vern and saying her friends are in jail for driving with his expired license and they didn't know. I know for a fact that they sent you a letter telling you your license will be suspended. So they knew that their license was suspended and chose to drive. Once she lied and said she never said that, I toned her out. I put her back on, and all I heard her say was, blame the government for black people. Okay? I know crackheads. I know people on the internet. I need
to
have
her say, no. I've got to cut her off because I never said that my friend. I said I knew black guys that were in jail for having their license suspended. Come on now. That makes you a criminal. Now you have a record. It's not like you went out and shot somebody. So when you go look at statistics, break those statistics down and see what these people are in jail for. Some people are in jail
also,
right now for jaywalking.
I live in Georgia.
I do not live up there north where you're at. I live in Georgia, and they will take you to jail for anything here, and you will have a record.
And also, you know, and Vern has said it before, and it's absolutely true, the criminal justice system if you're not represented properly, and someone who's impoverished is not represented properly, will be more likely to end up in jail than someone who is represented properly. So when you take those statistics into account, you've got to take that into account, because is there anyone here that's going to say to me that the criminal justice system is in good working order right now? Because come on. Okay, so again, why is this about race? Why isn't this about people? Okay, I agree.
John, I want to tell you one reason. It's not really about race, but there's something that I think is very important for all of us. This is my perception. This is the way I see it. And I want everyone to know that what you hear on this show are my opinions. My opinion solely. I don't claim to have information from God. God doesn't talk to me at 3 in the morning. I have no higher power that channels through me or anything like that. This being said, I spent a lot of time, you know, studying and reading things. I think what's most important about the whole conversation, above and beyond the details of the discussion tonight, is what, in fact, you get a chance to see is how people perceive the world from their point of view. And that's a very, very, very powerful thing. It's not always nice. It's not always good. And at least in dialogues like this, people are polarized. You know, there's a thing in logic. There's an argument called false cause. And that's what I assert to you is the problem, is you have criminals. I don't care what neighborhood they are in. And based on your neighborhood, your culture, that's where the crime's going to take place. And clearly, I don't think that Jackie would never say that it wasn't crazy for black men to be killing black men. I've got a conversation going with her in Facebook on this because it is a terrible, crazy problem. And I'm going to tell you what, you cannot deny the Tuskegee experiments. People might want to discuss about flooding the black community with drugs and look at nuances of that. I'm acquainted with some of that, but not well enough read to make authoritative comments. But there have been heinous behaviors perpetrated on black people. But I want to go one step further when it comes to the United States government and the military. Our military at large were subjected to radioactivity from atomic bomb testing, black, white, all of it, and told not to worry about it.
As far as Tuskegee is concerned, Vern, do you know that they injected these people with syphilis and allowed them to have it to see how far and how the disease would progress?
Yeah, that's no different than the experiments that the Germans did in World War II, in my book.
No. It's not. I mean, it's just it's heinous. But I mean, we're talking about crime, and whether I'm looking at George Zimmerman shooting that kid, or the neighbor who goes out and shoots his neighbor because he gets pissed off, or whether it's black on black crime or whatever you're talking about, all of it is crazy. And I think, you know, as a human race, we should be talking about how do we stop this, because most of this is coming from impoverished neighborhood, and maybe most of those people may happen to be of African American descent. You know, I mean, it could possibly be.
Here's my question to Jackie.
Yes.
When she said that crack cocaine was brought by the government into black neighborhoods, so white people couldn't get any access to it. Is that what the reality of it is? That only black people get it, and it comes in, I guess, big truckloads, and they put guns to black people's heads to make them sell it on the corner. Is that what happens? Or do you have the option to sell it, and they choose to go illegal and live illegal over doing something that would be right and maybe take a little harder and more work to do? No answer, huh? I didn't think so. She usually don't have answers for good questions.
I was talking to my coworker.
I didn't hear anything you said. I was talking to my coworker. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What did you say? Go ahead.
Okay, so the government came in with these trucks, right? And they put guns to black people's heads and made them stand on the corner and sell crack. That's what happened, right? They sat there, put it on their head and said, you better sell this crack because you're a black person and we need to make sure you look like a criminal. Is that what happened? Or did they say, no, I can become rich quick off of doing this instead of working a 9-to-5 job like normal human beings?
Are you familiar with COINTELPRO?
No, but are you familiar with the
You're not familiar with this, right? You're not familiar with it, right? So there is
no
need for me. Wait a minute. You ask me a question. Can I please answer?
The common sense tells you that the government is putting crack in their hand and putting it in somebody's car window. They're not taking their hand and physically making them deal crack. So that's an excuse and not an answer.
Okay, Jackie, go ahead and answer. You ask him a question.
He is not familiar with COINTELPRO. Is anybody else on the line, on your show, familiar with COINTELPRO? Until you go and you study, well, you don't even have to study. You can go and watch a YouTube documentary on COINTELPRO. And when you see this, they tell you how they did this. This is not something that I'm making up. They calculated how they were going to do this. They did this to people. Not only did they do this to people, just like you were saying, Vern, how they dropped Agent Orange on people, they're just now paying people for that. I heard that on the news the other day. The government does this. They have think tanks. They have a group that they call Jasons or Majesties that come up with these things, and they don't think things out. Well, we're going to do this year, we're going to do this that year. No, they have plans to exterminate people or get rid of people that involve years and years and years of planning. Until you go and watch a documentary on COINTELPRO, which explains how they did all of this, they didn't just say we're going to drop drugs in the black community and they're going to go and sell it. No, they didn't do that. They made it extremely hard for a black man to get a job. They took the black woman away from her home. They left black kids unattended. They thought this out. And this didn't only affect black people. It's certain parts of this plan that affected white people and other people of other races. They did this to the Indian nation. And when I say Indian, I don't mean Indian from India. Desmond was
Native
trying to
American
be. I'm talking about India. Native Americans. They did this to people. So don't come with to me being sarcastic. Oh, did they do this? If you don't know,
what he asked, but Jackie, for what it's worth, what he did ask, and it's something we all need to deal with at some point, even in the white communities and stuff, he's asking what is it? And I'm putting words in your mouth, Tony. You can correct what I'm saying, but the essence of what you're saying is when it all comes down to it, at some point, who makes the decision ultimately to take the drug and who's selling the drugs on the street and who's in fact buying them. Now, here's a very legitimate point is how come in white communities what you see is powdered cocaine on the streets and you don't see the crack cocaine. And that's the stuff I have not researched very well. I got another call.
Wait a bit, but you notice, though, the drug laws, even though it's the same drug and the same thing, one is a cheaper form, the drug laws will give the person that's selling crack, which might more than most likely be a black person or person of color, they will get more time than the person that's selling the powder. So that alone tells you that this was
a
plan.
Can I say one more thing about how
you started the show off, what you would say to a young person? That's kind of along the lines of the post that I have going that me and you keep, engaging in.
Yeah,
and for young people today, I think that TV is corruptive. I think that music is corrupting children. I think a lot of things out here are corrupting children. I think fairy tales corrupt children. I think people shouldn't tell fairy tales to their children when they're little because they grow up thinking everything is a fairy tale, and they are now all of a sudden an exception to rules that's been in place since the beginning of time.
Jackie, can I interrupt a second so I don't lose this train of thought? And it goes along with television. I have seen two of the most terrible advertisements in my life that are cute and funny, but when you think of the implications of the media and the advertising, it has to get us to stop and think. One is where the father comes in and the little boy is eating his chicken nuggets, never mind whether you think they're healthy or not, and he says, "You want to play hide and seek?" And the little boy says, "Oh, yeah," and he runs off and hides, and dad immediately starts eating the chicken nuggets, and the little boy yells, "Are you really even looking for me, Dad?" "Oh, yes, I am." Yes, a terrible ad. And a second ad where the parents scare the crap and bejesus out of the kids, tell them a story about the boogeyman so they can eat the yogurt or whatever the hell it is in the refrigerator. What a terrible statement in a society where you have advertisements like that. And I think that's funny. 11111, you're on the air.
Oh, God.
Hey, Vernon.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing? This is Ricky from Summerdale in Philadelphia. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm 19 years old. My name's Ricky from I'm a young white male.
Yeah.
I'm big in the hip hop scene down here. You know what I mean? But listen, yo, I don't like what these whitey's saying about my peoples, man, my niggas. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to represent. Like, these crime rates ain't real. You know what I mean? I'm right here, right in the middle of the struggle. You can Pinterest that. You know what I mean?
Well, so you're in Philadelphia, yeah. Ricky, and I want to thank you for calling. I want to really thank you for calling. I'm going to tell you why, especially being 19.
Yo, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Don't cut me off. I pour a little liquor out for my homies every day. You don't know what's going on here. Yeah, I'm in Southern California. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
You out in Southern California with your Charlie Sheens and your Adam Sandlers, rich white folk that don't give a shit about, you know, us people out here. I mean,
man,
yeah,
will you go practice and shut up, please? Okay? I mean, you're not conning anybody, and you're not any good. Go listen to Phil Hendry for a while and figure it out, okay? You need work.
What you talking about, man?
What am I talking about, man? Man, what am I talking about? I know what I'm talking about, baby. Come on.
Now you're being racist. Now you're talking against my people.
I'm talking about your people. Yeah, man. I'm talking about your people. Yeah, I'm talking about your people. You in Philadelphia calling from 111. Yeah, I know, baby.
My homie Tyrese.
Should we call you Desmond or should we call you, which one you want to call this time? Rupert, Desmond, what? What do you want me to call you, baby?
I don't even know what you're talking about, man. My homie put me on to this show. We was chilling, smoking a blunt.
Yeah,
man, I'm Tyreek on you, man. He just got out. He did a 15. Okay. That old whitey. Fuck your other leg up, too, Vietnam bitch. Yeah, that's like, what you gonna say now, motherfucker? What's written?
Ricky. Yeah, baby.
Okay. John. Okay, what else do you want me to know, Ricky?
What you going to say now? Yeah, Vietnam ain't shit. You come here, this is Vietnam. You come to Summerdale, motherfucker, real shit.
Well, are you telling me that 13,000 people are dying a year in Philadelphia?
13,000 people dying in Philadelphia? Yeah, that's 13,
are you telling me that 13,000 people die a year on the streets?
What's more than
Philadelphia?
That? There's a million people dying. Did you know why?
No. Wait. I asked you a very specific question, Ricky. Are you telling me that 13,000 people a year are dying on the streets of Philadelphia?
Yeah.
You are. You've totally lost credibility there, which is okay. You can say that, but it's factually not true. One of the earlier callers told me that there have already been 210 murders in Philadelphia this year. I'll bring you up again. But, you know, people have this weird notion. You know, I hate to say this, but not really. When it comes to a blog talk radio show or any other radio show, what most people don't realize is the person that's hosting the show fundamentally has the power should they wish to exercise it. Now, I'm willing to listen to what you have to say, Ricky, but when you're telling me, hey, man, yo, man, this is a real Vietnam, man, and it's happening out. Listen, I don't know what's going on in Philadelphia, but I do know that in 68 in Vietnam, 13,000 plus soldiers died at 68. And I know that one of the callers tonight lives in Philadelphia. Either they're telling me the truth or you are. Told me 210 people died. Now, 210 is a long ways off from 13,000. Now, I'm not saying that Philadelphia is not a war zone. So since you're 19, what do you want me to know? I'm here to listen and learn something from you.
Y'all
you're back
yet?
On. Yeah, you're
y'all,
back on.
Y'all done yet? Y'all done yet?
I'm stopped talking.
Okay, let me speak my piece then. Okay, yeah. Way more than 13,000 homies is dying on the streets. You know why? Because it's not actual deaths. It's death, shooting, AIDS, sickle cells, baby mamas, stabbing, and the main point is Whitey. Whitey kills us every day on the streets. Whitey, you, Mr. Whitey.
You, my friend, are part of the problem.
What can I do, Ricky? Let me ask you a question. What can I do for you? Is someone that's actually considered white? I'm half Puerto Rican, half German.
Yeah.
What can I do to make the world a better place for you? And I'm an old man too. I will probably exit the planet before you, unless it's in some sort of a violent altercation, as they say.
You should just stop fucking talking, because you a nigga lover. Yeah, you heard me, bitch. I know you're a throw in the air. I hate you, too. Nigga.
God. Wanna be...
You got to wash your ass. Shit.
Six 619, you're on here.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Not much. Who's calling, please?
My name's Jesse. I run the show called The Vice. I don't know if you see me on the chat there, but that's me.
All right. What do you have for me, Jesse?
Not much. I just listened to this idiot talking to you. I'm very disappointed in him. Someone out there posted also on the chat that this is the reason why we don't need education shut off. He's the reason. It's ignorance. Ignorance. I mean, I'm a 32-year-old Hispanic male. I'm a Republican. Surprise, surprise. I get a lot of crap for it, too. But, he wants to talk about politics or his past or background. He's just like the blacks wanting to blame the past and reparations for everything. I see it like this. People say, oh, well, you're Mexican and you're Republican. Well, that's for the rich. That's for the white. And I was like, you know what? Then get rich. Okay? I'm out to make money. I don't know. I'm not trying to boast all this stuff right off the bat, but this guy, he needs to shut the hell up, man. And I'm glad you
did. He was a shill, man. He was a shill. That's all he was. He was a shill. Didn't you hear him turn around and call Vern an N-lover at the end? He was a shill. He's called three times now. He's
right.
Playing games.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Me, I don't speak of what I don't know. You know what I mean? That's called ignorance. And
sure.
He needs
but
to do his homework.
For Jesse and John, there are people in the chat room. How come I haven't cut the person off? Okay, I know that you're all wiser than God himself. But there will be people that listen to this in the archives, and there's something about letting a moron speak their piece. It's, a few words out of the mouth. What's that they say? You want people to think you're an idiot, keep your mouth shut. You want them to know that you are. Open it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is something about letting a moron or an idiot go on like that. So, I do it for a certain amount of entertainment. And I let him go for a while, and I flushed him.
No doubt.
Okay,
no doubt. Listen,
I don't lose
you.
Any sleep whatsoever about it. Oh, you got shield. Sorry, John. I'm just a stupid old man. Fuck him. He's gone.
No, I'm not. I wasn't saying that, Vernon. I'm not saying I know more than God or anything like that. I just find that the guy keeps on coming, and it's like, go practice, man. Why are you doing? We're talking
so
about.
So you would give him under
here.
My rating system for content and delivery, you would give him an F.
A D, yeah. I mean, he was just he was playing and he played three different characters trying to do three different same voice. I mean, that's part of what I do for a living. I recognize the voice and I recognize the inflections that he's putting on top of it. And it's just like stop. I mean, it's serious. You want to go do a radio show, a comedy radio show? Go do a comedy radio show, man. I mean, if you think that's funny and people are gonna listen.
Maybe that's the problem. maybe he has no radio show to call, so he calls here.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I see it like
yes,
this. I see
Tony,
it like this.
Tony,
personally,
Tony,
is,
stop, stop,
this
stop.
Is Jesse speaking.
Tony. Anyone can get
yeah.
a BTR account, right? It,
yes.
it doesn't cost anything to have an account, and anyone can do their own half-hour show. Can they not?
Maybe he tried and don't get listeners. He's just chiming in on people's shows or something.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, that's
but
what John's saying. You know, perfect his game, perfect his gig, you know, become professional, become smooth, give it a delivery that people might be interested in listening to. He can have the show, but it's not anyone's fault out here that he can't make it or doesn't have a good delivery.
Well, realistically, he shouldn't be calling it anyway. It's kind of juvenile. I mean, people are talking about serious matters and discussing something, and then you got somebody who's just joking.
You know, yeah, there are more serious things going on the planet than someone trying to chuck and jive a host. Anyway, so Jeff, this is 111.
I was just going to say, he's got, you know, when you were grading like F or D or whatnot, you know, what is it? How's the score go for F?
Oh,
F
you
minus,
know, I grade.
F minus
I grade.
F and then F plus, F minus, and then,
yeah.
or no. What is it? Is it F plus,
no, what,
F, and then
yeah.
F minus?
I set up a long time ago, I decided that people want to try and punk the host and be smart or show me some stuff. That we have a criterion on this show. We rate you on material and delivery. And we combine the scores.
Let's just say this. His delivery, everything
that
was
nice. He gave him a D.
The fact that he spoke English gets him a fucking F+. Okay? Right. And like I said, I'm Latino. I'm Mexican. I speak Spanish fluently and stuff. But the guy just coming off like a fucking boater. All right? You know, it just... And he's ignorant. Like I said, that's the biggest part. That's the biggest problem of me. And, you know, it's just like George Carlin said, you know, it's just like, you know, people want to be proud of who they are. You know, I'm Irish. Oh, I'm proud to be Irish. He goes, yeah, really? You're proud to be, you know, predisposed for colon cancer? You're proud to be fucking predisposed to being an alcoholic and 5'10"? He goes, you don't get that choice. You know, you're born with it. You know, you need to be proud of what your accomplishments are. You know, and that's who I am, and that's why I get a lot of people of my own race and family and friends that you know, kind of despise me for a sense, because I speak like that. I'm the truth. I speak the truth, and that's who I am, and that's...
Well, you quoted a very good man. I was fortunate enough to see George Carlin when I was a young man. He has
See, you're
us.
Lucky, man. You saw a living legend, and I, you know, I'd love to shake your hand one day just to... to know that. Jeez.
Well, I'll metaphorically shake your hand over BTR here, Jesse, because the fact of the matter is George Carlin was a bright man, a sharp man. He asked us all, you know, to question. Listen, if government can do, if government can take, and it's our government, it's our fault, it's a recurring theme, we're down to 7 minutes of the show, but if the government is of foreign bias can take us at will and subject us to radiation and atomic bomb tests in World War II for the good of the nation, lie about the Gulf of Tonkin, carry out experiments like the Tuskegee experiment, you know, flood communities with drugs, do anything. I don't put anything beyond government. By the same token, I think that we need to bring a little bit of ballast to it when we think about it, because
right.
there's a lot of stuff that it's too many people going down the conspiracy roads these days, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, you're
not
kidding.
Let's see if we got someone else here. 111111111. John's on the edge of his seat. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Vern. How you doing?
Yes. I'm doing good. Who's this?
Hey, this is Joe from Malka Hill, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm calling in response to the other caller. I used to live in Philadelphia, and he's actually wrong on the numbers. Of there's not anywhere near 13,000 deaths a year. I don't know. I guess his mind's clouded.
Well, John thought he was a shill, Joe, that was playing the host, playing the game, playing the show. And clearly, listen, I get a kick out of people that will push it so far and dance a line. It's like a guy in Radio Shack, we have those out here, whatever your store is, that says, can I get your telephone number and address and stuff for a cash purpose? And I say, what for? Well, it's company policy. Show it to me. Oh, we're doing it for you so you can get our flyer. I don't want your flyer. I get six of them. I'm always interested how far someone will push it to try and make it up when they're absolutely full of it. I ask them that question deliberately, show or not, when someone tells me that it's a war worse than Vietnam and Buddy Manor, I'm in this, that, whatever.
Right.
You know, clearly, I know that there are not 13,000 people. You know, here again, high crime cities, 200, 300 a year, that's one a day.
Well, actually, Vernon?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to live in Philadelphia. There's actually, on average every year, it keeps going up every year. It's usually in the 400 to 500s every year. It's pretty bad, and that's why I moved from there.
Philly's tough, man. Philly's tough, from what I hear. My boy Dominic lives up there. He says it's tough.
Yeah, it's a huge piece of shit.
Big Italian community, right?
I have a question for your black female caller. Is she still on the air?
Yeah. For my black... What'd
you say?
I'm sorry. I was just trying to be respectful. The black female caller that you had on, if she's still on the air, I have a question for her.
You know...
I thought he said female whore.
I thought he did, too.
Hey, Cube, this is Jesse. What's your name? I'm sorry, I didn't ask you myself, so I have a reference.
My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube.
Okay, Vernon.
It goes back a long, long ways. I used to fax local radio stations, and I opened a fax up one morning to the host whose name happened to be John, and I said, John, and I meant it to have the inflections from Saturday Night Live. And he says, and we have a call from Vernon, and that stuck.
Nice.
So it's been a radio name for years. Jackie, I apologize for the idiots that are out there.
Vernon, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, you know, you were talking about, you know, the whole thing with, the big toll on what's going on in Philadelphia. I want to catch up on what's going on. What started all that? You know, because I only caught you when this guy was just going off. Like, I was signing into my account, and I saw your show was on. And I was intrigued, and then it's just like this guy's bursting out. What was your question initially?
I was told in the chat room by Lori that the caller had said he wanted to ask a question of my female caller. And Lori's usually pretty good in being on top of it. So maybe...
Hi, Lori.
One. Is this Joe again? Did I cut you off?
What?
Yes. Who's calling, please?
This is
Rocky. Yeah, I've called your show a couple of times before.
I know. Hang on one second. I got to pick up. I'll pick you right back up. I have a caller on 347 that was waiting longer, and I'll bring you into the queue here. 347, you're on the air. Who am I speaking
with?
Hey, yeah.
My name is Shaka.
Shaka, are you in the chat room, I think?
Yeah, I'm in there, but I was attracted to your show because of the title. So, you know, all us egomaniacs are going to come in saying, hey, I'm one of you.
My guys.
With 22 IQ. But, no, I like it. I'm just listening. What was the black female caller thing? I missed that.
He's a prank call.
I don't know that he was. Rocky, you're on the air. How's your son doing?
He's doing pretty good. He's due to come home and by God's eye, they're getting him out of there. So he said there was there've been a couple fire fights over there, but other than that, it's been pretty calm, and he should be home by July.
Well, July is over.
or next July, I'm saying.
Oh, he's got another year to go. What did he do, two tours over there?
Yeah.
Rocky calls me from time to time. His son is in Afghanistan right now, I believe, right?
Yes.
God bless him. We'll send a prayer for him.
And for all of you in chat, we got 60 minutes before we go into overtime here. I want to thank you all for listening.
60 minutes.
My name's Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube. I'll be back on again tomorrow night. I will continue this into overtime and wrap it up. And thank you all for listening. What an interesting show. From starting out asking what would you tell a young person today, I'm going to have to listen to the show to think of what I would come up with.
Yeah. I just like to say thanks, everybody, for your time.
Well, thank you. Who am I speaking with now? Because I got so many people up here. Was that Rocky?
No, it's just Tony.
Tony. Thank you all very well. Tony, thank you for calling in, and thank you for being respectful and listening to me again. I appreciate your input. Next time we'll talk about something. Well, maybe we'll just talk about climate change or something. It's less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, VQ, are you getting an extra hour?
No, no. What happens is we go into overtime. It'll be good for 15, 20 minutes. People in the chat
room
can't hear us. It's just one of the things on BTR so that even though they can't hear us anymore, we still have time to close out the show. And
that's cool. All right.
Thank you all for calling in. So, Tony, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your point of view. I understand you live in a high crime area, and I don't know what the demographics are, I'll take this up with Jackie later. She can take me behind the woodshed. If it's black on black crime, that's what it is. It needs to be dealt with. But that is one part of the total picture in this country. And we need to understand and deal with that, and the extent that it affects any of our communities in any respects, we need to deal with it. Here in San Francisco, we're having police officers.
I agree, VQ.
Yeah.
It affects all of our society, and I think everybody should work to fix it, not just everybody point the finger and say the black race. I think the white race is also failing the black race. But the black race mentality fails them. I think combined together,
that's where I totally disagree with you, because it is in my experience in life, it turns out that intelligence really has very little to do with someone's.
No, I'm not saying intelligence as to the mindset that they're willing to accept, but it's also the white race as a stereotypical race. It's like as a combined. They're failing.
Yeah, there are bidirectional stereotypes that hurt us all. That's what I would say.
Absolutely.
Can I get feedback? Because I live in a high crime community,
him.
And I'm also what's called a black man, so I can tell you firsthand what it's like living in the community from my perspective. The issue is rather complex, because what is happening is I have in my own community young black men that are shooting each other, right? We try, a group of us middle-aged men, to talk and mentor, but many of these.
Now, by middle age, what age are you spanning? By middle age, what age are you spanning?
I'm in the 40s.
Is this Shaka?
We're all in our 40s. Yeah, this.
No. Just as Jesse's speaking, but I want to know what he's talking about middle age, because you know,
right.
People shooting each other aren't 40 years old. People shooting each other that are black are in their 20s, mid 20s.
I don't think you understood my point. I said us middle aged men that are trying to mentor the younger people. Maybe you missed that component.
Yeah.
So the point I'm saying is that the younger people that are killing each other in New York City are ignorant, typically not educated, typically no father at home, and typically they don't give one crap about the future. What they're looking for is immediate cash, immediate money, immediate sex. So the
immediate attention
totally
is what they want.
I totally agree with what he's saying.
Immediate attention.
Totally
yeah, absolutely.
Yep, so... But if we don't evaluate, if we take away history, then we imagine these men just dropped from the sky. They did not drop from the sky. There's a history of systemic issues that we have to address in order to help them. And I try, and a few of the other brothers near me, we try. But reaching these brothers is like talking to the wall. They don't care. They really don't care. They're like, hey, what do you, whatever, man. I'm looking to get paid.
You know
right
why
now.
They don't care? They don't care because 9 times out of 10, they're probably crack babies. That's why they don't care.
Some of them are. Yeah, some of them have issues being, you know, withdrawal, et cetera, but for the most part...
Crack doesn't run everywhere. Crack doesn't run everywhere. You got to admit, a lot of it has to do with snitching.
Yeah.
And the biggest part about snitching is that you can't just go on and think that, oh, you know, just because, you know, I'm in my environment, you know, I want to jump out of the world and be a better person. It has a lot to do with your environment and the people around you. You know the biggest part about snitching and being an ethnic minority is you can't just go out and decide, oh, I'm not going to do what everyone else in the neighborhood's doing because I don't want to be like that. Bull crap. Everyone in the neighborhood will snatch you up, you know.
Yeah.
Anyone lived in the hood will snatch you up,
way,
and it's the biggest intimidation in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
The only way that they can snatch you up is if they don't have supervision. And then you have to come and see, why don't they have supervision? It's either their parents are hooked on drugs somewhere, their parents are trying to relive the part of life that they missed because they had kids way too young, or their parents were doing the same thing. A lot of these kids, they're trying to live fast because they don't think they're going to make it past 21. So they're trying to do everything now. Then once they make it past 21, they don't think they're going to make it to 25. So they're trying to do everything then. And this is a big problem. And when I say crack babies, I mean they grew up in an era where things come fast. And that's the only thing.
Oh, okay. You didn't. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's
yeah.
It.
No, I was
going to
say because
enough.
I was just
yeah.
like, yeah, you can't like, because I grew up in an area where it was suburban, but it was still hood. Like, it was just like people tried to prove themselves, and even though you had the authority and right to not, you know, do the things that are bad, You couldn't help it because of the influence at school. Kind of like that whole thing where you get bullied or, you know, you do things at school, but when you got to go tell your mom, you can't tell her because, you know, if you tell her, you know, mom's going to go say something and you don't want to be that guy at school. You know what I mean? That same thing goes for snitching. And it gets worse as you get older because, you know, now that you get older, you have more options. So I get what you're saying. Okay, that makes more sense. Absolutely.
Shaka, let me say something to you. I want to thank you for doing, you know, I don't want to put this on a religious basis for people, and if you're religious, it's on a religious basis. Thanks for doing the Lord's work or the societal work, because what you're doing to try and reach out to young people, period, as you get older in a fast-paced technological society becomes more and more difficult, because what the fuck does that old fart know? That's what you run into.
You also run into people who are just at their end. Jackie was talking about, you know, jobs before, but beyond jobs, you know, if you're in a poverty situation, and we see this in all places. I mean, we see this with people who have meth addictions and so forth. I mean, what drives a person to have these kind of problems? Has a lot to do with the hopelessness of their situation and the fact that they don't, you know, maybe thinking that it's not going to get any better for one reason or the other. So,
yeah.
You know, that has a lot
to
do with it, too.
I'm sorry, but it's tantamount to being on a ship, thinking the ship is going to sink or seeing it sink and saying, you know what, can I do? Or what can I get out of this? But I think that both cultures have a responsibility. The black community has a responsibility not to be so busy with other things than to invest in their children. And I think the white community has a responsibility for their children, but also to realize that we're all in this together. I mean, either we're going to work together or we're going to hurt each other. And it makes no sense. I mean, we have to all compromise and say, okay, we've got to come to the table and take care of our children in the black community and mentor more. And stop spending so much time in the corporate world and maybe give up some of that time for the kids. And the white community should realize that, okay, you know, not all these black folks are A, B, C, D, fitting these categories. How can we work together to make a better nation? And then from there, make a better world. Otherwise, we can all be billionaires and destroy the planet.
I got to say right now, like, it's funny how, like, you know, you guys are bickering about the black and white community and, you know, being Hispanic, you know, I don't know how many times we sit back and see you guys bicker and fight while we sit back and relax and think, you know, we're like that happy medium. we're that culture, you know, we're that culture that, you know, everyone complains about. And I'm going to be straight up when I say this because it's the only way I know how. The Mexicans will do the jobs that the whites won't do, you know, and the blacks are too lazy to do the jobs that we won't do. But that's bullshit because, you know, they did their slavery, but not that because they had a choice, but because, you know, they had to. But we do it because we're hustlers by nature, you know, and we want to feed our families. It's in our blood, in our culture, to be macho, to be providers. You know what I mean? You can't be that way. Let me just finish real quick.
Yeah.
There's no choice to be lazy as a Hispanic. When you're a lazy Hispanic, you're outcasted. I'll tell you straight up. You're outcasted. You have to be a macho. You have to put it out there. But people don't know. And when they don't do their read up and stuff, is the Asians are taking over like you wouldn't believe. You know how many Asian companies, Japan and in China, own the biggest American corporate companies? And people don't see that. So while we're at the bottom in middle and lower class arguing about all this stuff, the big companies that own the big white companies are the Japanese companies. And people don't see that. Qualcomm. You know, Qualcomm, the cell phone company, Samsung, all those that you see out here in the U.S. are being taken over by Japanese and China and things like that. So while we thought, you know, America was bombing down on Hiroshima one day, guess what? They thought, you know what? The biggest way to power is not strength, but mind. And they got bigger mind than anybody else. Why do you think all the technology comes from there? Why do you think that? They got it covered. They got it covered, and they're sneaking up slowly. You ever see a Ford truck? Okay, like a Ford Ranger? You ever see the Mazda version of the Ford Ranger? It's the same body. It's the same everything. They're taking over. They own it. Look it up.
Well, that's right.
And we need to get
all
together.
Moving towards free market.
So while you guys are arguing about black and white,
Russia,
and the Mexicans
everyone,
are sitting back,
everyone,
the Asians
everyone,
are taking over,
I'm,
and nobody's seeing
everybody
it.
Off
Nobody is seeing it.
I'm going to play a piece because it really ties into both, because what you really addressed, Jesse, is the fact that while we're bickering and screwing around, that the extent that we handle that we learn to get along and learn that what happens in every culture, in every neighborhood, affects us all, we're in trouble. And Shaka said something powerful there that this particular piece addresses. I mentioned this to Jackie. I want everyone to listen to this.
I took 14 of the neighborhoods that were known as being where the rich people lived in 1960, places like the North Shore of Chicago, places like Burlingame up in the outer side of San Francisco, Beverly Hills, Upper East Side of New York. And I said, what's the median family income as of 1960 in those places, and what percentage of the people have gone to college? Well, expressed in today's dollars, the median income in those 14, quote, elite, unquote, neighborhoods was $83,000, so, which is not rich. Mm-hmm. It's way short of rich. In other words, you had, even in those neighborhoods, a lot of economic variability. But on top of that, only 26% of the people in those neighborhoods had college degrees. So a lot of the people who were rich in those neighborhoods just had high school diplomas in those days. So you had a lot of cultural... You know, you had mainstream America represented in the experiences of the people who lived in the richest parts of the country. Today, that's no longer true.
Mm-hmm.
Those same 14 neighborhoods in the 2000 census, it's going to be a lot worse in the 2010 census, income was up to $163,000, but even more importantly, college degrees were up to 67%.
The separations we're seeing are culture in terms of education in this country, and that's probably one of the biggest divides we have. We got to come to grips with, and as you said, Jesse, we start to see it in the,
right.
the drive of the Japanese in terms of what they produce. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to call in and listen tonight and engage in a dialogue that, as someone pointed out in chat, that they said, I really stepped in it tonight.
Absolutely. You know, I got you followed now that I've seen your show. It's a very interesting show, and I really appreciate your stuff that you're doing. So, I'll follow you. You follow me. Hey, you listen to me when I talk about the mediocre stuff, because you get into some stuff that you inspire to do. So that's awesome. And if I can get some tips from you, that'd be great.
I love y'all. I'm gonna go down the line, and then I got to bring the show to an end because I got things to do. Tony, any closing comments?
Yes, I just would like all white people to stop discriminating when they see a black person and not think of color before ability. And I like black people as a race to not think of that they're being held down and to think that hard work will accomplish something. And that's about it.
Jackie.
Yes.
Okay. I'll let you think about it, and I'll come back. John, closing comment.
I agree with what Tony just said, and I agree with what's been said here in the last few minutes. I think, when we're talking about overseas and a lot of these people, China, Russia moving towards free market, realizing that's the way to power more than armament. I think we all need to work together as Americans, man, and forget this ridiculous stuff, because we're bickering among ourselves while our country is being taken over rather than taking our own country back. And I'd also like to apologize to you, Vern, for getting crazy with the caller before. I know how you deal with those things, but that guy was really just starting to drive me crazy. So I'm sorry.
Well, John, you know what hell is, don't you? You know what hell really is? I'm going to tell you in a second.
Go ahead.
Anything you can't stand for eternity. Jesse, any closing comments?
Actually, I do have a closing comment. The first guy you talked to, he said, I wish people would stop discriminating. Personally, me, being a Hispanic that was raised in a certain rare situation, that loves, my people, but at the same time realizes the real, I don't agree. I don't agree that people need to, stop discriminating. I think people need to stop getting so fucking offended. That's my thing. I think people need to take it as is, no matter how great you are as a person or how good of a heart you have, you're always going to judge a book by its cover. And it's just in the human nature to me. You're always going to look, but to see, take differences with me. I'll look at a person and I'll say, okay, yeah, black or Asian or this or that, and you come up with the whole conspicuous bullcrap about it, like, oh, Mexican loves soccer, or, Asian is pretty smart, or black, he's ghetto or something like that. But at least I give benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to talk to the person and you know what I mean? So I think less offensive, like just be accepting to race. And racism, period. It is what
Jesse,
it is.
Can I tell
it's
you how,
common.
How
You're never going to stop racism. So just accept
can
it
I,
and
can,
be
can
open.
I tell you how I'm hearing you? And you can tell me if it's a flavor. I might say it slightly differently. We always need to be discriminating. It's part of the human personality.
Absolutely.
Listen,
absolutely. You can't not deny it. You can't shock it out of your system. It is what it is. You're born with it. That's why we're different colors. And I think it's a test from God, personally.
You can be accepting of humanity in being discriminating rather than discriminating against.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a philanthropist. I love the better human of life in the end. We all pump the same blood, but there is a definite... Yeah, exactly. There is a definite judge.
That's a fundamentally powerful distinction, is that being discriminating is important. If you look at me, I look older than I did 40 years ago. So to say, you're only as old as you feel. No, you're physically old with age, and you can have a young outlook and all that, but there's that psychobabble stuff. Shaka.
Yes. I partially agree with Jesse, but I have some strong disagreement on a main theme that he has. The discrimination issue is not one that we are inherently born to discriminate just based on idiosyncratic thing. For example, one person may have no money, walk into a place and look like a bum. Some people will discriminate against that person. I think the bigger picture is not about white or black, but about the planet Earth. As long as we are nationalistic and we think that Africa is it or America is it, then we have wars. Once we realize that we have one small planet out of trillions of planets in trillions of galaxies, then we realize that we have to share the Earth, share the resources. It doesn't mean that some people won't be more intelligent or better athletes or better whatever. Maybe they studied more. Maybe they whatever. But we have to respect people, not judge them because I have a PhD and you have a GED, or I'm black and you're white, or you're Hispanic and I'm Asian, because the Japanese are not the problem. The problem is that we are not bringing up our brain power to be competitive with them. So, of course, in a competitive environment, the Japanese should buy up everything because it's capitalism. We don't complain when people are better than us. We step to the plate and say, look, I'm going to be better. So we are the problem, not the Japanese, really. They're just doing the right thing, and we're not.
I agree with them.
Yeah.
I agree with them. It's all about how you started from the beginning. You're right. He's absolutely right. And, you know, I only say it because of what we're already experiencing now from what we grew up with. But if you would start the next generation tomorrow with no racism and just bring them up in one religion and one culture, absolutely. But, you know, that's not the case, and we will deal with this for a while. So
I'll be 10 seconds. I don't think we have to be brought up in the same race and culture. The beauty of humanity is tall people, short people, ugly people, big nose, small nose, different colors, different accents. I think that's the beauty. If we were all the same, then it would be a boring place.
But we're in the United States of America, and we are a superficial state. We are a superficial country, and that's the way it is going to be. And it's tough to. And I would love. I know. I agree with you. It would be great to just teach everyone around the world and stuff. But you know, it's funny how so many second and third world countries would agree that we're more humble and we're more accepting and stuff. But we are the biggest assholes. In the U.S. We are the most superficial. We see things the way they are. We hold the standard for greatness. You know what I mean? So it's just tough, and I agree with you, man. I wish one day there would be a day. You know what? You know what's going to happen? You know when that's going to happen? You know when it's going to happen that we actually all agree to be a one giant, income? It's when we see aliens, when they're attacking us. Now it's not even about race. It's about the human race. But if there's ever a day that there's aliens, that's when we're going to get together as a human race. It's not even going to be about color or anything no more. Now it's going to be about planets.
That's a fine how do you do when we have to be attacked by aliens, like in the movie 4th of July, to pull
us
together.
Exactly. And what he's saying is that's what's going to happen. That's when we're going to all get together and be like, you know what, screw it. We're only who we have, and that's it. We have to have each other. Because now it's about the human race.
Yes, yeah, there's something weird about the human species that we, in fact, need a crisis to bring us together. I've done shows in the past is what do we have in common, in fact, unite us. Shock, I have a question for you and Jesse. Since I can see your numbers, would you mind if I called either of you in the future to chat with you and maybe even set up doing a show with you?
No, absolutely, right. Absolutely.
Because I consider
I was actually going to message you personally with my personal phone number, if you don't mind, so I can talk to you about some other stuff.
I'd love it, because you guys are definitely an asset to both what's going on in the world, in my opinion, and in terms of Blog Talk Radio. It's the thing I tell people all the time, is I don't mind prank calls. It's just such a waste of a beautiful technology. And Tony dropped.
Right.
Jackie, you didn't say anything. I gave you the opportunity. You were speechless. You want to give a closing comment. And I want to thank you for you've just been a tremendous part of the show tonight.
I want to say to Shaka that it's really great what he's trying to do in the neighborhood for young men. And the sad part about it is that media and music has a greater impression on today's youth. I'm trying to take it back to how you started off. What would we say to the youth? And it's really sad that media and music, especially in, like I said, the black community, I am really concerned with the black community because, of course, I'm black. But it's sad how the media and music has more of an effect on the youth than men that are out there doing what needs to be done. I think
she's right.
We need to get rid of a lot of the myths that black people are lazy and stuff like that. A black man always has a hustle. Anybody that thinks a black man don't always have a hustle, that's just ridiculous. But every man has a hustle. And I think it's not a good thing to say, well, you know, I'm not going to be proud of what God made me. God made me black. I should be proud to be black. Nothing should be wrong with being proud of how I was made. Not to say I shouldn't be proud of my accomplishments, but I have to know who I am and accept who I am to accomplish anything. Without that, it means nothing. How could I ever get it done if I'm in denial of who I am? How could it benefit anybody or anything? And I think that it's not really so much of what we could say to the youth. It's more of what examples could we set for the youth. How could we bring families back together so that this youth is not in the street being pressured by his friends or his sometimes his family.
This is Jesse, and that was hot.
It's grown up that do this, and they put this stuff out. And, Vern, if you ever get a chance, like I said, please, whatever you do, please look up Freeway Ricky Ross. Look him up. And
I've got it.
I've got it
on my tabs right now.
And
what's her name, Jackie?
Jackie.
If you look up Freeway Ricky Ross or you look up Cointelpro, you can see that the stuff that I said tonight, I didn't make it up. This is stuff that the government did.
I didn't think,
did.
Jackie,
the
I know this didn't.
Just let me finish my thought out. The government does this, and the government does it, and it's corporations that's involved in a lot of the things that the government does. And the government didn't just do that. Like you said, we mentioned a lot of things that the government has did to people today. But you leave your kids at the mercy of the government when you have to go out and make a living. And you leave your kids at the mercy of the government when you sit them down in front of PBS while you go clean the house. People do not think about that. But when these kids grow up and they're in the world and they're trying to live real fast and everything is going crazy, nobody says, well, how did we fail the youth? Everybody says, well, what could we do to, what's wrong with them? They have been failed. They have been failed by every generation that came before them. And like I was saying about the music, you have a rapper right now in 2012. Everybody, just about everybody in the black community knows what Freeway Ricky Ross did to the black community spreading drugs. You have a rapper right now who's being pushed by major corporations who's saying his name is Freeway Ricky Ross, and he's rapping in 2012 about selling drugs. Who are the parents that let
I know exactly what she's talking
this?
About. She's right. She's right. Then they got that conspiracy theory about the Illuminati and how it's all big stuff.
Even this man, Freeway Ricky Ross, he said, I am so sorry for what I did to black people. He has tried to rectify what he did to hundreds of communities with this drug stuff, and he sued that man in court to get his name back, and the court system said no. That's glorifying this thing that's taking over communities. And like I said, it's hard to enforce anything on children when they don't have supervision. You look at the state of the economy now, and nobody has a job. Everybody's out trying to find a job. Or they're working 2 and 3 jobs. And what is it leading to? More unsupervised children.
Yeah, Jackie, that's supposed to be that Illuminati thing that's supposed to be going on, supposedly, with the whole thing. But that's a whole other conversation. Jackie, if you don't mind, this is Jesse. You post your link on that chat. I would love to, you know, follow you as well. Like you said, Vern, you know, she's an awesome talker. You know, I didn't hear her earlier, but, yeah, I would love to follow you and stuff, and hopefully you guys can jump in on my show tomorrow.
You can find me on Blog Talk 220-Love-07. No, it's just 220-Love, my bad.
What's your show, Jackie? Well, your link?
Jackie and John.
Oh, Jackie's your
two
co-host.
Unofficial permanent co-hosts.
Oh, I got you. And if you all get the opportunity, I have a show called Black Emergency, where I focus on issues in the black community, but I invite white people, Asian, Hispanic, everyone to discuss it because it's important like a microscope. If you have a problem, you look under the microscope and focus on that area. Everyone else can come and say, hey, you know, you're looking at it wrong or you're looking at this right. But I'm really trying to help save some of these young brothers from the jails and from AIDS and from the gangs. So if you get the chance, check us out. And thanks for this opportunity. I really enjoyed this.
Well, it's my, you know, listen, you thank you for jumping in. I appreciate it. I am only as good as I'm provide a conduit for a conversation like this, and I consider myself privileged and honored to be able to do this. So, you know, and I thank you all for showing up and being part of this dialogue. I've got Jesse and Shaka's telephone numbers. I got Jackie's and John. I don't know if you've ever sent me a telephone number, but you usually show up and lurk around the place. I've got your email. And
Bernie, you got my number? 619-2.
Yeah, the one that's on the screen.
277. Okay.
Yeah,
give me a call or a text right after. I would love to talk to you, like I said, and get some more information. And
yeah, I'll send you an email tonight because I've got to get ready for my day tomorrow, but I will give you a call within the week. And same thing with Shaka. And Jackie, I will say one other thing that I have found, and I can't speak for the black community because I'm not in it, but what I can speak is for the community of young people in the world. There are too few men on the planet, a lot of males on the planet, a lot of people with the gender, you know, the plumbing and all that, but there aren't a lot of men. And I'm going to tell you what, you take the time as a man to talk to young men, they're dying for it, they're thirsting for it, and there's a lot that can happen there in all communities. And I can tell you that for a fact because I've been privileged enough to be in this radio background for 20 years now and been involved with a lot of young men. And you know what? For some reason, they'll listen to this old man spin his yarns, tell his bullshit, and talk about the future of the planet and what's available to do. But you know, there's too little adult supervision. And what you actually said is adults have sold out the younger generations, and the extent that, you know, I can make any impact on it, you can count on me to be out there.
Good, man. Appreciate that.
All of them, everyone before me, we have all felt the youth. And I'm just real quick, because I know the show's about to go off, I'll tell you one area where we definitely felt them in. And it's not really me or my generation, but it's my mother's generation. I'm 37. My mother's generation, they felt to instill proper manners in children my age and younger because they had to do this, and they didn't think that it was a good thing to address people good morning. I mean, I live in the South now, and this is really big in the South, but coming up now, these kids, they won't even speak to people. And it is just little things that was instilled in older generations that the coming generations, they just didn't instill in their kids. Another one is respect for adults. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody on this line can remember a time when the whole neighborhood watched you, and if you went out and you did something wrong, that person could take you to your mom. They could whoop your butt. And
oh, hell yeah, I remember that. I'm 32, yeah, absolutely.
So
Jackie,
there are
stories that be told that if you did something wrong in your neighborhood, the news got back to mother and father before you got home.
Yep, they would sit you down. You would walk in the house, and they'd be like, hey, we need you to sit down for a second. And I'd be like, oh, crap.
Yeah, what did I do now? Listen,
yeah, absolutely.
I love you all. Let's remember,
while we were doing that, people still had lynchings and there still were wars. So that's one component of the big picture, meaning, you know, that didn't stop all the problems in the 60s, 50s, and 1800s. We got to balance family with politics, with geopolitics and the environment, just in my opinion.
Shocker. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, and that fits under a saying that I'm very fond of, half-assed is still a half-assed no matter which cheek you got left. And so the fact of the matter is two, you know, I don't care how many rights of today can't right the wrongs of yesterday. You know, and the wrongs of today can't invalidate rights of yesterday. It's all got to be taken within perspective. I'm not saying it was all cherries and roses back there, but as societies disintegrate and decay, part of that comes with adults not being responsible and teaching children values.
I got to say this, Jesse, this is one last time. Before I get my second part in, too, in the end, and I'm done, ass whoopings should have never been taken away. That's my opinion. I believe
absolutely.
In a good old ass whipping. Like, you know what, when they took that away in the U.S., I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I enjoyed when I was in high school watching kids getting their ass whipped inside the Target or the Kmart or in the market.
Oh,
you know, you would be down the aisle and the kid, 3-year-old, you know, grabbing the cereal or the, you know, and just get, you know, you know what I mean? And now you can't hit them. Now they can call the cops and all that crap. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with getting your ass whooped. And they need that still back.
And they need it back in the schools, too, man. Teachers are completely out of control. You know, they can't do anything with kids now either because it's like, I can't touch them. I mean, I remember when I went to school, you know, we had Dean of Security. This guy would shove your head in the toilet if you were a bad guy. I mean, a real bad guy, you know. That school ran like butter. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, my dad
got
told me
an education.
There was even hazing in high school. My dad, he's a Vietnam vet. He said there was hazing in high school. Like, you know, that was just, you can't, you know, they'll fuck you up. Like, you know, just teaching you to be a man and shit and know your place as a man or woman. But, yeah. You know, like I said, that's in a conversation for another time. We, you know, we can go about this all night. Yeah, absolutely. And you guys, every one of you guys, Jackie and Vernon, like I said, if you'd follow me and I could follow you, that way on your guys' show and you guys can drop in on mine, that would be awesome because, you guys are awesome. So that'd be great. Just drop
it.
Vernon,
you can send me the link.
I'm on the chat, you guys. I'm the vice. I'm the vice. I'm the one that's the vice. Jesse the Jerk or, you know, Blog Talk Radio / Jesse the Jerk all together. They call me the Jerk just because I'm honest. But, you know, I call it the truth. You know, and the truth hurts. That's why they call me an asshole. So it's all it is. That's why my friends are like, hey, you should jump on the radio. You know, and I was just like, yeah, you know, I don't know. And they got me into it. And, you know, you're a jerk. You're an asshole, Jess. And I was like, no, I'm just speaking the truth. That's all it is. It's the truth. The literal
Jesse,
truth.
We all need to recognize the jerk in all of us. And
I guess. So if you guys can follow me, I appreciate it. You guys jumping in my show. I'm going to hold one tomorrow evening around 6, maybe 7 or 8 Central Time.
What time is it?
Oh, okay. That's I don't know where Jackie, you guys are at, but, you know,
I'm on
tomorrow's going to be an open
daylight
show about whatever. So I really love you guys to jump in on my show. It'd be my third show.
Cool. All right. Well, you certainly have the chops for it, Jesse the Jerk.
Appreciate it. Yeah. You can tell I got a lot of the chance to let go.
Time. I don't know what time that is.
Central. Okay, if you're in the West and it's 12 noon, I'm 2 hours ahead. And if you're in the South or the East, it's an hour behind.
What time did you say?
So if I hold the show at noon here and you're in the South or the East, like New York, it's going to be 1 o'clock your time. But if not, it's going to be
What time is the show?
Well, I'm going to hold it around. Well, if you follow my show, it'll send you a reminder whenever I'm going to do it. So tomorrow around like 6 or 8 o'clock, I'm still deciding when I'm going to hold it.
You haven't decided what time yet, Jackie, but I'll tell you what. I will actually.
Like I said, if you guys follow
him,
me, I can send you guys personal messages and let you know when it's going to happen for sure. So.
All right.
I really appreciate you guys being on there.
What did you say, Vern?
I will make sure you get the information you need to track him.
Okay.
I'm pulling up Doc Shaka right now. Dr. Shaka.
Same here, man. Send me Jackie and what's his name? His link as well.
That. He's coming up right now. And like I say, thank you all for, you know, this is tough stuff to talk about, but it's as someone that I had on my show a week ago Saturday said, is all conversations start at the level of the niceties. It's only when you start to get down the level of family that they get tough. And I'll leave you with the following quote that someone posted. You know, family and friends, you know, butt cheeks are family and friends are like butt cheeks. Sometimes shit comes between them, but they always come back together again.
Assholes are like opinions. Everyone's got to have them.
And with that, this is Vernon V-Cube signing off. I will catch you all next time.
Tomatoes a fruit? Is ketchup a smoothie?
I don't know. Good night, all. Good night.
You guys, good night.
Good night.
Take care.
Peace.